You hear I finally graduated?
Yeah, and just a shade under a decade, too. All right.
You know, a lot of people go to college for 7 years.
I know. They're called doctors.
You're playing for somebody today? A couple DJs who are you playing for?
Don and Mike.
My Lord, you are a scrappy young woman.
I have not been notified yet about this investigation. Mr. Speaker, and he just left this floor, and I asked him to stay. He has handled this situation as a disgrace.
Nice things you've said about the truckers over the years. While
me,
realize that people get things in this country thanks to truckers.
Mm-hmm. If you got anything in America, it came to you in the back of some moron's truck.
And truckers rhymes with another one of my favorite words. And the network of choice, which comes to mind, is Westwood One. Don and Mike Show, coming to you from the palatial studios of WJFK FM, Washington, D.C. That is our flagship station. We're cleared on 55 affiliate stations starting Monday. Next Monday, just a scant 6 days from now.
Very exciting.
That will be 56 stations when we go on in New York City on WNEW-FM.
These little town blues.
All kinds of meetings already happening about that.
Yes, everybody's all a quiver.
Right, but more about that in just a moment. And of course, none of this possible through the help of Big Al, your radio pal, Jeremy the Gerbil, Big Daddy Mel, Donald Monkey Boy. From here he is to my left and your right again. And with a layered look, there is our friend Guy Burgley.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi. Hi, Buzz, and welcome to the show, everybody. It's Tuesday. February 22nd.
We're almost out of that month.
But I came up with, I talked to Liddy today, and I'm going to refer to March as Mark.
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 So when we get done with February, we move on to Mark.
Now, is it a month, or is it a form of currency in the... you know, the Republic of Germany.
It is simply a way of pronouncing the word M-A-R-C-H. Mark! Now, Mark! Ah, my. So for now, February, and the telephone number, 1-877-365-3636. A word of advice to you animals who call us every day.
Yes.
All of you undisciplined animals, please be on your best behavior. We finally have the full-time replacement for Rockhead.
What's her name?
Her name is Toya.
Toya.
As yeah. in LaToya.
I like her.
Without the la.
Very nice. I like Toya already. I really do. Toya has a good attitude.
Yeah, she's been hanging around for a couple of days, going through the ropes. At some point, we'll bring her in and give her the Inquisition.
Good.
For those of you who care about such things, she is all female.
Yes.
Yeah.
She is hot.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a woman of color.
Yes.
All right.
That's yes. right. So the show... Rob, I'm sorry. The show is finally integrated.
Yes, sorry, Rob. I know, against all of your protests.
For a long time, Rob has wanted this show to be
Rob was
four whites only.
Very, very upset.
We'll and... see about that.
Oh, dear.
But Toya, the wonderful Toya, we will slowly bring her towards you
mm-hmm.
and let you find out about her. But please be gentle with her. Today's the first day that she's been answering the phones by herself. So that's Toya.
You know,
she's answering the phone.
And you know, the reason I had to ask you on the air her name is because, you know, Mr. Idiot in the back room there, I never was introduced to Toya. And you know, that's why, but I'd say hello, and then she'd come in, like today I said, hello, and she said, hi, Mike.
She's been around for about a week.
I know. I just never, you know, I mean, far be it for me to ever rely on Charles Broyhill to introduce me to anybody.
Well, her name is Toya. She's on the telephones. Rockhead's gone. Our thanks also to Erica, who filled in the last couple of weeks.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. So now all of that is said. Let's get to today's show, and today's show, of course, like everyone, will be jam-packed. I do have a ton of weekend stuff to tell you about. I know we want to talk about Dave Letterman's return last night on TV.
Oh, man.
I do want to spend some time talking about that lizard on the Fox show, the Marry a Millionaire guy. I hate to say we told you so, but...
I tell you that when you're in this business, it's very exciting to have stories like that.
We told you so. So we will get into all of that on today's show.
Good.
The big news for us continues to be the fact that next Monday, we sign on in New York.
Uh-huh. Very excited about our debut in New York.
Which has been a goal for a long time for us, to finally crack into the major markets and get on a high-powered FM stick in one of the big markets. So
right.
It's finally happened.
Yes, absolutely.
And today was a day with meetings and then talking to the press and trying to figure out the logistics about how we're going to still live here,
uh-huh.
but actually do the show from up there on a regular basis.
You know, I'm realizing when we were discussing that up in the office, what a couple of idiots we must have sounded like, as we're trying to figure everything out logistically and just, you know, different times here, different times there, and we're working it through. And you know, there were a lot of those moments where you're discussing stuff like that. Okay, so that means it would be... Right, but then if it's like that,
right.
Well, wait a minute, if it's done that way...
Right. Got it figured out.
Good. Right.
The way it works out is that for the foreseeable future,
mm-hmm.
starting sometime after next Monday, we're going to be here 3 days a week at least.
Right.
We'll be in New York 2 days a week.
Right.
It might be vice versa. We might be here 2 days and be there 3 days. Either way, you'll be hearing the same high-quality show every day.
Absolutely.
Great. And the New York papers are all over this story.
Yes.
Was in the New York Post over the weekend again, and then today in the New York Daily News.
Right.
They're writing that we're coming to New York. They're already starting the press about us.
Good.
We're the out-of-towners.
Sure.
We're the guys with the show that nobody's heard of.
Right.
We're coming on the lowest-rated station in New York City, the station that's the joke of Infinity Broadcasting.
That's the way we like it.
All of that is fine. However, I just think it's... And I promise me... You know what, Rob? Time me on this. Give me 20 seconds.
Ready?
20 seconds on the clock.
Ready?
All right, go. Go.
Okay. I just think it's interesting that... We talked about this on Friday
uh-huh.
on the airwaves. It was in the New York Post.
Right.
It was in the New York Times. It was in the New York Daily News. It is the biggest story in radio that this show is going to be on in New York, and we're going to be doing this show from New York 2 to 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yet today in the Washington Post.
Right.
Okay, well, you know the rest. There was
sure.
not a mention of it.
Of
not
course.
I just thought it was an interesting sidebar. That's all.
I was reading. I love, as I tell you, in Washingtonian magazine, they've got a segment called Post Watch. And it's fun to read about the Washington Post and the goings-on there. And apparently, you know, all is not well with the world at that newspaper. A lot of people have jumped ship and gone to USA Today. And, you know, there are reasons for that. And
sure.
that is, and it's fun to read about that because I think that they are not what they used to be. And one one of the reasons is they got guys like this writing the radio column.
Apparently Frank Ahern thinks it's a bigger story that Newt Gingrich, who has a radio show that nobody airs,
right, and nobody listens to,
has had his show canceled, or that Eddie Gallagher, that freaking dinosaur, is 85 years old on Saturday.
Right.
That's what he wrote about in the Washington Post radio column today.
Or, you know, for those of you in Washington, too, check out a terrific jazz station from New Orleans. You know, great.
Yeah,
movie.
On the web.
Right on the mark.
Yeah. Yet there's no mention of the fact that, you know, you would think that the guy would be glad, just from this standpoint alone, 2 or 3 days a week, we're going to be out of his hair.
Mm-hmm.
two or three days a week, we're going to be living in New York City.
Sure.
But no, not a mention. But that's all right. That's all right, because right. It's all over the New York papers.
Yeah, very good. Where, you know, where they're, you know, they're giving us the, you might call it the honeymoon.
And the other paper,
I didn't read the other paper.
It wasn't really a honeymoon.
Really?
It's not so much us being trashed as it is the station that we're going on.
Right.
It says, WNEW is importing the Don and Mike show, number one rated from Washington, D.C., meaning Tom Likas is likely to go. Oh, that's great news.
Mm-hmm.
That's great news. I hate that prick. Not that there seems to be any sense of crisis. WNEW shares a general manager, Ken Stevens, with a station in Philly. Its new program director, Jeremy Coleman, from Washington, D.C., is acting program director.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's going to be a big speed bump for us.
Those are our people, though.
The way personnel
know those speed bumps, Don.
Right. The way personnel have shuffled at WNEW-FM lately, maybe that's an automatic part of any title. Radio fans joke that since five of Infinity's six New York stations are among the top eight in the country for ad revenue, maybe Mel Karmazin secretly needs WNEW to be a tax write-off.
And we say, hallelujah, that's fantastic.
That's fine.
That's what we want.
You put us on an FM station in New York that has no ratings, there's nowhere to go but up.
Absolutely.
Reminds me of a little fixer-up in Manassas, Virginia called WJFK-FM.
You bet. I mean, when we started here, it was the same situation. Absolutely.
Sure. Christ, they were playing the same box of stupid Led Zeppelin and Jethro Tull records 9 years ago.
There is no situation that we would rather go into than a situation like that. You know, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
All right, so that's the news. That continues to be the news. We'll talk about it. And then the real fun starts on Monday.
Right.
When we actually debut in New York and when we begin to actually talk to New Yorkers on this show. the weekend. Let me tell you what happened over the weekend.
It was a long weekend.
Yeah, it was a great President's Day weekend. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, Frida and I had some alone time.
Good.
Because Bart was at a hotel all weekend.
Oh, he's doing that youth and government thing, right?
Right.
What's it called?
I'm not sure, it's a United Nations model.
Kind of an international youth and government.
Right, where they get kids from schools.
Right.
And basically it's an excuse for kids.
What country was Bart representing?
I think Uruguay.
Ah, really?
A chance for kids to...
I'm surprised you let that happen.
Stay in a hotel. Didn't have a chance. It was something. It was Peru or Uruguay, something like that. Well, Mike, I asked him. The U.S. had already been taken.
Okay, all right.
So it's a chance for these kids, really, to go to a hotel and be supervised, but still stay up until 4 o'clock in the morning and, you know, generally have a good time. And they have these mock meetings where they pretend to hash out the world's events.
And they discover things like mashed potatoes, which is what I discovered at my first youth and government conference. You know what a mashed potato is?
No, I guess not.
It's very simple. It's simply toilet paper soaked in water.
It's
thrown out a window.
So that's what you learned.
Yes, I learned about youth and government, not only the art of the way this system works, but and debating techniques, but also how to make mashed potatoes and ball them up and watch them land on cars.
So he
eight floors down.
Sure, he didn't do anything quite that rowdy.
No, that was me. I was a ruffian.
So he was gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's at this hotel,
right?
And we said to him, call us and let us know you're okay. Mm-hmm. And we got like two phone calls over the weekend.
Right.
Where there'd be 30-second calls from a payphone. Hi, Mom, Dad, I'm fine, have a great time. What are you doing? Can't talk. Bye. Click. So he was gone, so it was just my honey and I all weekend. And it really made her happy on Saturday. Really, really made her happy. Because I bought her a new sewing machine.
Oh, hey. You're the man.
Thank you. Listen, I'm telling you. Made her happy.
You didn't surprise her with that, did you?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
That was something she wanted.
Right.
She led you to it.
Made her happy. Made her happy like if we had gone out and purchased gold bars.
Yeah,
right. I can't figure this out. It's important. My wife, first off, we have a kitchen, but she doesn't know how to work anything in the kitchen. It's just like, as far as she's concerned, the kitchen is just a room in the house.
You get her that Swedish model?
I don't know. We got her those.
Say like Husqvarna, something, you know. They like.
I wouldn't let her get the one at Sears.
Okay.
The one at Sears appeared to be a piece of crap.
Okay.
And as my wife had pointed out, the last time I bought her a sewing machine was when we got married, almost 19 years ago.
Seamstress for the band.
So, for whatever reason, this makes her happy. Now, I've never even really seen her, aside from 20 years ago when we got married, I've never seen her sit down and sew anything.
What does she plan to do with the sewing machine?
You know, who knows? This is another one of the great Frida diversions.
Right.
She just needed the sewing machine, and her mom was getting a sewing machine at the same time.
I see.
So they decided that they'd both get sewing machines, and they would take classes together, and this was something that they were giddy about all freaking weekend. And, I mean, every time I would sit down with my wife to discuss something, or even worse, with my mother-in-law, I would have to hear a dissertation about how easy it is to make buttonholes with this new sewing machine.
So they're actually going to make some real clothing. Maybe they can make you some suits.
Well, do you know that? Do you know that? Frida said to me, do I remember when she made me a shirt one time? It was back when we were first married. We didn't have any money. And she made me a shirt.
Early 80s.
And it was a shirt like the Scarecrow wore in The Wizard of Oz. It was an awful-looking shirt because I don't want
checkerboard pattern.
I don't want to hurt her feelings. I actually wore the shirt.
Right? Good for you.
I didn't have the heart to tell her this weekend, you know, please, whatever you do, for God's sake, don't make me a shirt. You know, I don't care if you decide to sew up Bart's pants that have been ripped because, you know, always the knees are always going
on. Does she know how to hem?
I think so.
Because, I mean, hemming is something where, you know, if you have a sewing machine, you know how to hem. You can, that's a real, then you go buy your pants, you know, with the little crissy crosses on the bottom,
sure.
You know.
I think she wants to make some kind of fancy pillows or something. So,
you know, nice.
More power. All I know is that it made her very happy, and all weekend she was in this euphoric state about the sewing machine, which was fine with me because, you know, she's happy, I'm happy, her mom's happy, I'm happy, so Saturday, we went to the movie Saturday afternoon. We're by ourselves. We went to the matinee. We went to see the movie Boiler Room.
Yeah, you told me you were going to go see that on the weekend.
I'll tell you this. I won't give the movie away. It's false advertising when they advertise Ben Affleck as the star of this movie because Ben Affleck is in the movie for maybe 5 minutes total.
How's the movie?
Three scenes. Not bad.
Okay, good.
That Giovanni Mussolini guy.
He's the big star. He's the guy that was in Saving Private Ryan.
Pretty good.
And is it comparable to the other great one?
No, it's
Wall
nothing
Street.
Like Wall Street. Oh, although it's a good movie.
It's
I don't want to bad rap the movie. I just want to tell you what happened when we were there. That I finally got justice once and for all.
Oh, good.
We went on Saturday afternoon, 12:45 show. Went into the theater, six people in there. I counted. I thought, beautiful. Mm-hmm. This is pretty good for a Saturday. We're really going to get to enjoy this movie.
Right.
Well, these two fat girls that were sitting about five rows behind us, they were talking, I swear to Jesus Christ, at regular volume, having discussions with each other.
For those people without supersonic hearing, that is a very loud whisper.
No.
Is your wife going to back you up on this?
Robbie, get her on the line, please.
Okay.
Speed dial my house.
Now, Ian, I will tell you that in all the years we've been working together, she has never backed you up on this.
She will tell you this
would
time.
Are you aware this would be the first
time? But I'm telling you that these two ladies, they were having conversations about candy, about boys.
During the actual moment the movie is running.
They talked all the way through the ads. Who cares?
Right.
And I mean,
you kind of care, though, right?
I don't mean the ads for movies. I mean, you know how they run commercials now.
Oh, okay.
They talked through the commercials. Didn't care about that. They talked through the trailers. Now,
you kind of care about it. I'm with you on that one.
For me, that's where you should shut up.
I totally agree.
Keep your voice down.
Right.
They talked all the way through the last thing before the movie where they have the dancing candy and it says, here's where the garbage is and please don't talk and don't smoke. They talk all the way through
candy.
Then the movie itself starts and these bitches are running their mouths. And I mean, it is not something that just I'm noticing. Everybody in the theater is turning around and shooting them this. Just looking at them. And they're looking back at everybody. These two pigs who should be on the Jerry Springer show.
No answer?
Hold on. Well, I'm glad you weren't alone in this time.
Well, I'm the only one who decided to do something about it. Oh, here she is.
You're proactive that way.
Hello.
Hi, boo-boo.
Hi, sweetie.
I hate to back you up because you do tend to exaggerate, but they were loud.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Frida, am I right in saying this would be a first?
Yeah, well, yes. This is actually one I noticed before he started.
Fantastic.
So these two fat girls, they are talking at the top of their lungs.
Well, see, there you go with a little bit of exaggeration.
Well, they were speaking at normal volume as you would speak as you walk through a shopping mall with somebody.
Well, they weren't whispering.
No, they were not whispering. And in the beginning of the movie, Boiler Room starts with heavy rap music.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't notice this. But
right.
Then all of a sudden it gets just a shot of quiet.
Right.
And then right away you see these guys having a discussion. And it's impossible to focus on the movie because I hear these girls behind us. Well, I don't know. Do you want Twizzler? I got Twizzler. Do you want Twizzler? Where's the Diet Coke? Oh, isn't he cute? Look at what movie was he in? Have you seen him in a movie before?
I just don't get that. Okay. I hate that.
So I waited. How long would you say I waited, honey?
Oh, you waited 5 or 10 minutes. I mean, you gave them a chance to, I have to say on your behalf, you gave them a chance. Sometimes people, during when there's music and they don't think there's dialogue and they don't think people care to listen, they'll chat during that part, which is still annoying. But you let them get into the movie and they were still chatting.
And I'm thinking, you know, this is going to ruin this movie for me.
Mm-hmm.
We never get to go to movies by ourselves. We got a 12:45 show on a Saturday. There's virtually nobody in the theater. So what I did was, I turned around in my chair. I halfway got out of my chair, and this is exactly what I said. And this is as loud. I said it very loudly.
Okay.
So everybody could hear me. I said, "Hi, excuse me. Could you stop talking so loudly, please? Thank you." And I turned, and I sat down. And immediately, Frida slumps in her chair.
It was very smart-assy. I mean, your first
I said, please.
You should fire a warning shot at people.
I don't believe
honey,
in that.
How many times did I turn around and stare at them? How many times?
Well, they didn't notice you staring.
Oh, they made direct eye contact with
me. I think people that are rude, that's perfectly acceptable. You just let them know it, and they, you know, they're stupid enough to be talking. Everybody knows you don't talk in them.
I mean, it was great, because I got a loud voice anyway, and I was at the top of my lungs, "Hi, excuse me, would you stop talking so loudly, please? Thank you." And I sit down, and she says, "Why did you do that?" Because they needed to be told.
Right. And then was it silent?
Not a word.
Ah, perfect.
Not
bravo.
A word.
Great. It was beautiful.
But when that kind of thing happens, and I know that some little part of your brain knows that you are being a little bit of an a-hole, because I wanted to stop and see who some actor was or take a second to read the credits, and you're, hurry up, because you want
I don't want a confrontation
with
the
person on the way out.
I don't want the confrontation with the Jerry Springer people. I mean, you know, I was in the right, and technically, if you want to break down what I said, if you were to take that in a court of law and read the transcript, I said, "Hi, would you please stop talking so loudly? Thank you." I said,
"I'm a big believer when you're in a,
please and thank you."
When you're in a theater, the trailers come on. It's shut up time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I mean, you're watching the. It's there because you want to see about upcoming movies. It's rude to yap during that.
You have some people who are so stupid they think they're at home watching TV. So I give those people who talk to their TVs,
right,
I give them the benefit of the doubt. And for me, the drop dead point is when the movie started and it says directed by.
Well, you're generous.
When it gets to directed by.
Yeah.
I just won't tolerate it.
I don't blame you. That's it.
So, of course, the movie's done, and we walk past these two gigantic big trailer tracks.
So they were in front of you?
Yeah, they're behind us.
Oh, they were behind you.
So
we had to go very quickly with no eye contact. You cannot dilly-dally after he's reprimanded someone. It's just
a drive-by
reprimand, and then you're out of there.
Let's go. We've seen it. And then as we were leaving the theater, and it was one of those big complexes with 9 theaters, they had a poster for the movie posted right out front of the door you walk into.
Right.
And Frida wants to stand there to look at the names. I said, "No." I said, "What do you want to know? I'll tell you." She says, "Just hold on, I want to read this." And I'm grabbing her by the arm and I said, "No, we have to go before."
Somewhere deep within your soul, you believe that these two fat girls will come out of the theater and you know, begin to.
And then we'll have a scene
with a blackjack or something.
You know,
like that.
There will be some kind of scene.
Right.
And whenever there's a scene, you know, it's never portrayed as fat girls rudely talk during movie. It
right.
would be, you know,
big ogre man,
disc jockey, you know,
yes,
yells at women in Hoyt cinema. So I said, let's just get the hell out. And as we were leaving, she said, "Did you like the movie?" And I said, "I loved it."
Mm-hmm.
She said, "You really?" I said, "You know why I loved it? I loved it because those two fatties had to shut up."
Right.
That,
you know,
that made the movie Boiler Room for me, which was...
Made it better.
A so-so movie.
I understand.
Right.
That's my only complaint, my boo-boo, is first that you fired the direct hit instead of the warning shot, and then you enjoy you like that confrontation.
I loved it. At one point during the movie, I didn't even have to pee. But I said to Frida, "I've got to go to the bathroom."
Right.
And it was during a La La Land movie, just so I could get up and walk by and look at them. And I gave them this look as I walked by. The look where I'm walking, but my head keeps turned around looking at
them. So let me get this straight. As long as you're in the confines of the dark theater, you don't mind.
I'm a huge coward. You know that.
The confrontation. But if you're out there where the movie cutout is.
Right. I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
Feel safe in a dark theater.
Was it a look that said, no talking while I'm gone? Was
no,
that kind of a look?
No, it was a look that said, you haven't said a word for an hour, have you?
I am Thor. I am a Thor of the jungle.
What do you think about that?
Huh? Well, I'm sure I would think that would enhance the enjoyment of anyone.
It did, sure. Made it a great afternoon, and then we had a wonderful dinner that night.
Good.
You know, again, just the two of us went to a nice restaurant in OC. Although my wife, you know, I complain about everything with you, honey. We went to this real nice restaurant in Ocean City.
Right.
And I thought it was great. We called, we got a reservation. It's a restaurant that has three levels.
Okay.
They brought us to the middle level.
Uh-huh.
And we had a table that was facing the window, so we were looking out on Coastal Highway, right?
Right, nice.
And I said to her, wow, this is a really nice table. And she said, no, this is a crap table.
I don't really care, but it's not the good table in the restaurant.
We have
a power table.
I said, honey, first of all, in Ocean City, there are no such things as a power table.
Yes, there are. There are good tables. Every restaurant, every nice restaurant you go to has good tables where they seat their pals, and they have ones that they seat where the three-year-olds, and we sat next to the three-year-olds.
How could this be a bad table? This restaurant was jam-packed Saturday night. As we looked down on the first floor, I saw nothing but, it looked like a cattle car full of people.
Mm-hmm.
We're up on the second floor where there's virtually nobody.
Next to the exit, and on the other side was a three-year-old. Now, that's fine because we wanted just to be you and me, and we don't even know anybody in Ocean City to see or be seen by. But I'm just telling you, just for the sake of discussion, that was not a good table.
And this was the discussion we had through dinner, that it was a good table, that we were not down there elbow to elbow.
Where would the good table have been?
The good table, for my, you know, very naive knowledge, I'm no expert, but they put you there where you can see the room and where the room can see you. If you go to a restaurant downtown, any nice restaurant...
Honey, it's Ocean City, though.
Yeah, I know, but it's the nicest. I mean, for Ocean City, it's the nicest.
Right, I mean, that's the truth. Restaurants do that. They certainly do that in the city.
I thought it was... I would much rather any day of the week be upstairs on a second level where I'm not with every, you know, tourist schmuck who's in town for President's Day,
mm-hmm.
where you have to wait for service and stuff. They had to take a spiral staircase to get up to this level that we were at.
Right. We were in the addition. We were near the exit, and then not 3 seconds later, they sat the family with the toddler next to us. They don't do that at the
yeah. What was wrong? The toddler was a well-behaved three-year-old. She was fine.
Well, they don't interview the toddler before they sit down. I mean, we had a fine time. I was just saying for the sake of discussion.
I thought it was a great table. And throughout dinner, I said to my wife, this is great.
We're
by ourselves. You know, we've had a day to ourselves. Right. Here we are now having this nice dinner, nice romantic dinner, just the two of us. Look at this great table we have.
No.
And as soon as I would say that.
To be honest, the discussion came up because you wanted me to tip them 25%. I said, why am I tipping 25%?
We always tip 25%.
I tip 20%, and it was a very nice dinner. But you tip more if people know who you are because you get embarrassed.
Yeah, well, of course I do.
You've got to do that.
But
of course I do.
You've got to
do that next time you come in.
They said, you'll be here by the exit.
This was the discussion. I said, yes, we've been in this restaurant plenty of times. The manager made eye contact with me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm sure he knows.
No,
I'm sure he knows me because he gave us this nice table away from all the loud people.
No,
she said,
no,
well, I'm not tipping 25%.
When he has known you, he sent over a drink or something.
Honey, he's very busy.
Yeah. All right. You begin to live in your deluded world, but I'm telling you,
it was a good table.
We are crappy dressers, and we got stuck at a lousy table, and that's, you know, we didn't have to tip 25%.
So do you think the reason he got seated at the bad table is because of the way you were dressed?
Yeah, because...
I had on jeans. I had on a shirt with buttons on it.
Yeah, well, it wasn't as bad as the one I made you. I'll agree to that.
Oh, what was that shirt like, honey? That was one raggedy shirt, right?
But I'll be making you some super fine clothes now. You just wait.
I told you, she's excited about that stupid sewing machine.
What brand name did you get, Frida?
It's called New Home.
New Home, okay.
Yes.
New
Home.
But don't let that fool you. It's made by the Japanese, anywho.
No. Good going. All right, honey. Love you.
All right. Goodbye, boo-boo.
I love you.
Love you too, sweetheart.
Thank you. Thank you for the love.
Bye.
Goodbye. I also had
couple martinis at dinner.
All right.
As I continue to document my new problem with alcohol on this show, virtually every weekend now that we go out, I insist on having two martinis. At one point, Rita said to me,
"Welcome, Don."
She said, "You know, you're turning into your dad." I used to say your dad would have two martinis every night. And I said, "Yes, but I only have two martinis one night a week."
Right.
Just one night a week.
Yeah, and then you don't know what you're missing the rest of the night. And the rest of the afternoons. And the mornings.
So she had to leave. My wife had to leave to take my son, pick my son up at this hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that for a small window, mm-hmm. I was left at the beach by myself.
Right.
And my mother-in-law, as you know, lives right next door to us, mm-hmm. down at the beach at our place in Ocean City. And God bless her, she really knows me well,
yeah.
because she would call, she now calls before she wants to come over.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't just
barge in. She's next door, that's very nice.
She always calls, she says, "I have something to show you, something in the newspaper, or something I want to talk to you about, can I come over for mm-hmm. a minute?" I go, "Sure." And about the third time she did this yesterday, I was just sitting around, reading the newspaper, and she calls, she goes, "Hi, hello son, can I come over?" I said, "Sure, come on over." She come over, and she walks in there, and she says, "I only called because I didn't know if you'd be watching your porno or not."
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
That works.
That you have a good relationship with your mother-in-law.
I'm unfazed by that. I said, "Hey, you know what? You caught me at a good time. I'm not watching porno right now. What can I do for you?"
Oh, that is so... She's funny.
And she
really
and
is
I mean,
funny
it was just,
as hell. That is great.
She didn't say it to be funny. It was just off the top of her head. "Hey, hi, I only called because I thought you might be watching your porno." You know, like the way a mom would say that, you know...
She didn't say it to be funny?
No.
She said it seriously?
Yeah, I thought you might be watching your porno.
Well, then that goes in my... From very funny to... It's a little weird. Good system, though. But you don't think there was just a tiny bit of her that was just kind of being making a joke a little bit?
No.
Not at all.
100% serious.
Wow. You have a unique relationship with your mother-in-law.
Yeah, well...
And I mean, I guess anything goes.
The thing is, our television bills down at the beach... My father-in-law pays those bills.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got a unique arrangement down there because my father-in-law is like the bookkeeper for our place at the beach.
Mm-hmm.
So when the satellite bill comes every month...
You've basically been paying him off, haven't you, for that service?
When the satellite bill comes, I will always take a moment with him. I'll say, "Hi, Pop, how are you doing?"
He's the bookkeeper, like in The Untouchable.
And he will say to me, "You ordered quite a few movies this month."
And he knows exactly what kind of movies.
You've seen the
film. Well, it says adult.
It says adult.
So why do they have to do that?
I don't know.
Why don't they put a code on it?
I know we've been through this a million times, but
it sucks. I mean, really, DirecTV, so what are they doing?
They just point out adults, $7.99.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll mention to me, "You had a good month, huh?" And I'll say, "You know, we've got a little sly wing." And I go, "Yeah, our secret, right? Pop, pop."
Sure.
And he goes, "Absolutely." Well, apparently... I don't know if he left the bill out or what, but now it's just common knowledge.
Sexplicity. Real good one if you haven't checked it out.
Oh, did you try that one on?
Yeah, absolutely. Check it out if you get a chance. Real good sexplicity.
So yeah, so she comes in. "Hi, I just want to make sure you're not watching your porno." So, "No, I'm not watching it all right now."
Did she come over with a, you know, like wearing a mink coat and with a pitcher of martinis or something like that? Or
okay. No, it was always like stuff from the newspaper. It was stories from the newspaper.
That's good that you have that. You know, she watches out for you.
She loves bringing over stories of either someone who has had some kind of awful disease from smoking cigars,
right,
which of course is my big passion,
right, mm-hmm.
or someone who's been decapitated in a jet ski accident.
Oh, really?
Because I have a jet ski.
Yeah.
Those are pretty much the stories that are the base of my relationship with my mother-in-law as far as her clipping items from the newspaper.
You're very comfortable with it, and that's good, though.
Yeah. What the hell? I go, "Oh, that's very interesting." Mm-hmm. And she said, "Well, I thought you might be, you know, you might want to read that." I said, "Well, thank you." And then there's that moment. She goes, "Well, all right, I'll be next door if you need anything." I say, "Okay."
Really?
"I'll see you."
So you, do you ever continue the conversation, or do you always
clip it? I nip it in the bud, man. Absolutely, I nip it.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I mean, it's that's interesting to know if you were watching. At the first time she's commented on it at all, or...
To me, yes. I know she's commented to Frida before.
Not
about
the hint
it.
Of a smile at all.
No, I swear to God, jeez. None.
Strange. All right.
Absolutely serious.
I'm just trying to put myself there, you know.
Let me call her up.
Oh, God. You are a much braver man than I.
Oh, what the hell?
Yeah.
She'll tell you.
Yeah.
If she's not in her sewing class.
Hello?
Hey, Pop.
Yeah.
Hey, you're on the radio.
Hi.
Hey, is Big Frida there? Were you sleeping?
No. I was in the other room.
Hi, Les. How you doing?
Fine. How are you, Mike?
Doing great.
Hey, is Grandma there?
Hold on just a second. Just a minute.
Oh, I think we might have caught... caught Pop-Up watching a movie.
You're killing me. You are killing me.
My father-in-law. Yeah, hello?
She just went out. She went out to the, I think she went up to the mailbox, up to the, took the dog went someplace.
All right, well, just tell her I called.
All right.
Okay, I'll see you later.
Can I call you back?
No, certainly not. But
all
thanks.
Right.
Thanks, Pop.
We all had a good time.
Okay, thanks.
I'll see you, Buzz.
Okay, bye-bye. Hey, take care.
Bye-bye. How you doing?
All right, and you?
You, fine.
Good. Good to talk to you, Les.
Nice talking to you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know what I dig about your father-in-law?
What?
Yeah, Buzz will agree with me on this. He always mentions us, you know, and it always makes us feel good.
Very kind.
Oh, he's a great guy.
You know, he may not know where his wife is right now, but he mentions us, right?
God bless him.
He's learned.
And that's like every guy in his situation in the country probably right now doesn't know where his wife is. That's just the way, and that's the way he prefers it, isn't it?
She's gone with the dog.
She went somewhere with the dog.
He's happy. He's got, I don't know if you can hear the background. I got Jerry Springer up at 20 volume or something.
Right. You know, I mean, you know, obviously nothing horrible would happen, but she could conceivably, you know, be out there in the bay treading water with the dog right now, and he's watching the two.
He's happy. Watching his cable. So that was my weekend. Oh, also, I devoted also a large amount of time, stupidly, to watching that idiotic car race on Sunday, which I've had some people tell me after the fact was the most boring Daytona 500 ever, and I say to them, bully, that nothing happened. There was no good wrecks.
They did something with the rules. That's all I heard was that my general...
shock absorbers.
Yeah, something where they screwed up the race. A lot of the drivers were complaining about
it. They made them all put uniform shock absorbers on their car so that no one could get an unfair advantage over somebody else. Which to me is stupid. If a guy wants to soup his car up so his car will go like 250 miles an hour, he say, let him.
Big idea. Yeah, well, I guess when they make them all uniform, it's so the best driver will win.
Oh, I want a guy. Let the guy. If a guy wants to go 250 miles an hour, let him.
They were mad. They were all mad about that. I mean, most of the old school drivers were like, you know, let me put on one of those little kick.
Yeah, let him. And then it was boring. It ended with a caution flag. Like the last 20 laps, when there's a caution flag, you can't pass.
You have to slow down. So.
Everybody slows down like to 40 miles an hour. And for the last 10 laps, which seemed to take 10 hours, it was just these guys going like in slow motion around the track.
And there was kind of a sprint to the end, right?
No.
No?
No, there's no... I mean, when you're under caution...
No, I mean, at the very end of the race, wasn't there something shocking at all? So right until the yellow... I mean, wait, there was
that
a
was
yellow
it.
Flag right until the checkered flag?
Yeah. They knew that this guy
sucks.
Dale Jarrett, who won the race.
I didn't watch it, so I didn't know what was going on.
The guy that won, they said with 10 laps to go, when there was this caution flag, if the caution stays out for the rest of the race, there's your winner.
Oh, that's no fun.
Yeah. Absolutely sucked. But The Sopranos was real good on Sunday night, I thought.
Fantastic.
A real, real solid Sopranos episode.
Back to doing what they do best. The plot lines that are simple gangster plot lines. You know what they didn't do? They were making Tony move away, too far away from being what he is, a gangster. And then they brought that, you know, like the ultimate game, the poker game.
Yeah, and Frank Sinatra Jr.
playing himself. Fantastic.
Executive game.
It was just, right, Buzz, the executive game.
Right.
It was real good.
I could go for Frank Sinatra Jr. on every episode in that poker game. I hope whenever they do those episodes where there's the poker game, have him there. That's why it's like, thank you, Tony. Yeah. Oh, man, that was great.
Real solid. Lots of good Meadow. Mm-hmm. Lots of good AJ. Lots of good Carm.
Oh, and he's great. You know, when you just see him, you know, Anthony Jr. is so funny. When sometimes he doesn't have any lines in that. You just see him, like, when he was bored in the recital, you know, and he just makes me laugh. That kid is great. I wish they'd give him a little more time.
And that Meadow. I don't know what happened to her.
No, she looks like the sister.
I mean, most girls her age are puking so they can look like Britney Spears or Christina Aguilera.
Right. Yeah.
This Meadow over the summer must have had the opposite.
Maybe the producer said, we want you to look more like your father.
I don't know.
It's working.
Her mother's skinny on that show, though.
Yeah, her mother's got a nice shape. Skinny, I wouldn't describe her as skinny. She's got a nice, nice shape.
I told you, I would do Carm Soprano.
Carm falls into that wheelhouse, just like our lady on the soap opera that you like.
Christine.
Christine.
What's her name on the show?
What is her name? Oh, my God, I can't remember. It's Nora and Bo, and then suddenly they had a kiss today on the show.
Yes, they did.
And then Bo pushed her away.
Hey, you know, that's going to be one great, great sideline about going to New York when we get on New York next week.
We have to get some of those people on the show.
We're going
to
get cameos. We've already decided that since we're so gay, we watch One Life to Live every day.
Yeah, and we'll have, like, one of those days to during the day, we can go over there and, hop on. We'd like to be extras on One Life to Live.
We'd like to take cameos on One Life to Live.
Specifically, in Ace's house.
Her name is Lindsay.
Lindsay!
Lindsay is the girl on One Life to Live that I would do.
Yeah, lots of stuff going on in that show right now. Sweeps, I guess.
Yeah, Lindsay is getting back together with her old husband,
right.
And Nora is getting back together with her old husband.
And we always like to debate the women we would most like to spend time with on that show.
Sure.
And you've got the hots for Lindsay.
Lindsay looks like, you remember Christine Kerner?
Yes.
She looks like Christine Kerner at about 45, I think.
45 years?
Yes. Maybe 45 more pounds also. Now, Lindsay does have a big caboose ass.
Yes, she does. But, many of the women on that show do.
More cushions for the bushes.
That's right.
It was a good Sopranos. It was a good weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Good weekend. Spent lots of time with my wife. Had good times. Had some downtime by myself.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm. Enjoyed my television.
Do I have a restaurant review for you?
Do you really?
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. All right, well, hold that thought for a moment.
All you can eat.
We will get to that next.
I mean, big thumbs up.
Oh, and speaking about, oh, man. I have to, Buzz, do you have any ratings information on Letterman's show?
No, I don't have the overnights yet. Sorry.
Can you get that?
I can sure try.
Why don't you, please?
I'll get right on it.
Thank you. I'd be curious to know the ratings that Dave got last night.
I'm sure they were big.
Because I can't imagine anybody who didn't watch the Letterman show last night.
It was pretty good.
I thought he was great.
Solid.
There's no doubt about it. He was great. I told Mike up in the office before the show, what I dug was that Letterman opened the door a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
To what he's really like. When his monologue kicked ass.
Yeah, really did. It was funny. It was, immediately he's like, hey, he's okay. He's, same old guy.
Right? And when he brought the doctors out, when he hugged that nurse, that for the first time you really saw, hey, you know what? Letterman was scared when this happened.
Right. Yeah.
And he truly is grateful to these doctors. I thought it was a nice moment.
I
thought, good show.
I believe, really, that the measure of a person is when they're in a situation like that, what the person's really like, and you're right. He did open that door a little bit. And when a guy got along well with somebody who was his immediate caregiver, like that nurse, and you have that good a relationship, usually that says something about the person. So, I think maybe
she sponged him down.
She did. She gave him a bath. She did.
Now, right. Dave, I'm going to wash your genital area.
Oh, man.
Hey, Bob, if you could find out about those ratings,
okay,
I would be interested to know.
Absolutely.
And plenty more weekend stuff to tell you. And then at some point, we're going to have to talk about that lizard on the Fox Marry a Millionaire show, because that's totally unraveling, too.
Oh, that's going to be an absolute blast.
But now, toe-tapping, touch-tones, got them for you. Just heard them. A first chance this week to win up to $10,000.
Oh, man.
Lies straight ahead with the secret celebrity laugh. Number four, it's a stumper. Be the 100th person to call Toya.
Toya!
Toya, baby, answering the phones at 1-877-365-3636.
I'm Loopy Turgid. This is
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Am I calling 100?
Yep, you sure are. What's your name?
Sean Bradley, Louisiana.
Sean, thank you for listening. You must be listening on 105.9, right?
Yeah, I was the first row when y'all came down here and sat next to the limo driver and the cigar guy.
Beautiful. Sean, thank you for listening in Lafayette, Louisiana. You've won a $25 gift certificate to Blockbuster Video, meaning that you could rent Runaway Bride, The Wood, An Ideal Husband, or Bowfinger, or all of them. That's from Blockbuster.
My choice would be The Wood.
Classic.
It's not what you think.
Oh, it isn't?
Not porn.
Oh, okay. Well, then don't bother.
It's not porn. Sean, are you ready to go for big money?
I sure am.
Secret celebrity laugh number four. I'd like to point out that Ken Stevens is in the building today.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Our former boss and future boss
mm-hmm.
in the building. So how about you play for $5,000? Just to make his underpants go way up the crack of his behind.
Good.
Are you ready, Sean?
I sure am.
Please don't answer until Mike sings like
Goulet.
Thank you.
Of course. First one out of the week.
And we wish you
Godspeed.
Caller, name this secret celebrity laugh.
There's a laugh. I'm going to get the full Vegas treatment now. You can stand up for this one. And Sean, you are playing for $5,000. Hope the odds are in your favor.
And the odds are in my favor.
Yes.
Threw in the head shake there.
Yeah.
Goulet probably never did that, but I thought I'd do it.
You know what that is? That is like getting a Las Vegas quality show every day when we do the contest.
One day this week, I'll come in with my ruffled shirt.
Who is that, Sean?
I heard it a few times last weekend. It's just a gut feeling. Magic Johnson, basketball player, L.A., retired.
No.
Sorry.
No, you remember Magic had that goofy laugh when he had that TV show.
That's pretty close to it, though.
Absolutely not. Thank you, though. And, Sean, remember that every guest is a
clue for you.
Clue for you. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
Hold on. Here's the Magic Johnson laugh. Yeah, there he is. Buzzy, you call?
Yes, I did. Got the information.
Got the info?
Well, obviously, number one in its time period. It was the third highest rated Letterman show ever, except for the Olympics. He got a 9.3 and a 23 share.
Wow.
Excellent. 9.3 rating, 23 share.
So Letterman was number one.
Number one. Easily beat the competition.
Yeah. Hard to believe that anybody would be watching anything except Letterman last night. And when he came out, I was expecting to be disappointed.
Sure.
Frankly, I was, but I wasn't.
It was great. It was strong. The lineup was strong. You know, although the Regis segment, I could have done without with it. You know,
hey, big man. Big man, the big guy. It was good when Letterman finally said, hey, yeah. Yes. Oh, yes, little man.
Yes, little man. You know, that was the truest thing said all night.
And, you know, I can do without Robin Williams generally.
Well, you know something?
Too spastic, too manic.
I love Robin Williams in movies. I really do. But Robin Williams, frankly, the same old shtick, you know, with him coming out and
stream of consciousness stuff.
It was just a little too much. And you know, I still love his movies, but I do not, you know, it was just, okay, here he comes. He's going to run around. There we go. Yeah.
What was the deal with the Foo Fighters? Is that song mean something to Letterman? Because that was an old song that they did.
But they sounded great, too. I mean, it's obvious when a band is just really going for broke, and they were doing that. I love that.
It's Letterman's all-time favorite song. They're his all-time favorite band, and apparently they broke their tour out of South America to fly in to do that song.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kooky. I didn't know. I mean, that song's like 2 years old, or 3 years old,
well,
right?
He plugged the new album, but they played the old song.
At the risk of sounding like an old man, though, I mean, I didn't understand why it was his favorite song, because I didn't hear the lyrics.
Well, it's hard to understand Dave Grohl. He yells a lot.
But I love that drummer. Man, I love that drummer.
It's a good song.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good story. That's good work. Thank you, Buzz.
You bet. Thank
good
you.
Good journalistic work, Buzz. Mike, you went to a restaurant this weekend?
I was just enjoying your Buzz compliment.
The moment.
No, it was...
I spent a lot of time telling Buzz he's old and that he's slow with stuff, and he actually came through.
I know, and I was waiting for Buzz to, you know, really give, you know, an emotional response to that, and it was an awkward moment there for a second.
Thank you, Don.
There you go.
Thank you. That's all right, Buzz.
No, I didn't go to a restaurant. I went to the place. I went to the place, which I tell everyone now to go. You know, for a long time, the family and I would go out to some of the finest buffet restaurants in the, in the Northern Virginia area.
Let me just say that for those who don't know, my ghost, it's a real hole-in-the-wall redneck diner, generally.
I went to two restaurants over the weekend, and I went to a really super fancy one on Friday night, that one we go to occasionally, the one you've been to.
Oh, right,
the
sure.
You know, it's funny when you talk about the table, because we went down there on Friday night. And they put us if they could have put us any further off the dining room floor, it would have been the greenhouse.
Oh, really?
And, you know, and the fact that we were in the chairs that were like the lawn chair type things, you know, and I finally said, is there any way, because my butt was sliding off the chair and I had to move my table back, and we had to go back into the main dining room. And so it was here we go, back into the main dining room. But I mean, just that was a good restaurant. But the place that really, I think Charlie Broyhill on the weekend, at the beginning of the weekend, I said, I'm going to a new buffet place. Now, you know, for a long time, I've talked about the Old Country Buffet that I go to.
Yes, you have.
And the Old Country Buffet is fine. It's good, great, clean, good service, plenty of food. Yes, it's cafeteria style, but I'll tell you right now, We went to the Great American Steak and Buffet.
Oh,
and man, oh, man. Let me tell you something. It was really special.
Why?
It was special for this reason. Because when we walked in, it was Sunday, and it was Sunday at about 1 o'clock. Which is prime after church, hit the trough, you know, go in there and feed. So there were a lot of people in, and I immediately stressed out. The first thing you see when you walk in is you see the big grill, and he's frying up like chicken breasts and steaks and stuff. But it's a buffet-style restaurant, and I'm flying blind. I've never been there, and I don't know how it works. I don't. But there's enough of a crowd in there where I'm stressing a little bit, saying, oh, there are going to be lines for everything. Because, frankly, I don't want to slam Old Country, because this is, I know I'll be going back. I know I'll be going back there, and I don't want to slam them, but I'll tell you.
That's such a great place.
The problem there sometimes is the choice item that's up for sale in there is, and it's not for sale, you pay one fee and then you get all the food, it's the fried chicken. And so quite often you will have 8-9 people just hovering around the fried chicken, just waiting for the choice food to come. Let me tell you something, the food they had there, there was so much of it. There were so many piles of delicious, hot, piping hot food that, you know, you sit down there, and we were there with the whole family. The whole clan was there. It was me, my wife, Catherine, Elizabeth, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, their two kids, our whole gang. That's our posse,
right,
that we come in with. And so we got in really quickly, and then we went into this buffet, and it was just so much food, so much wonderful, delicious cafeteria-style food that you could really enjoy.
You are such a nut.
I tell you, I know quality, too. I know quality for the dollar, and I'll tell you this right now, that some of those buffet places, you know, cleanliness is not job one, you know what I mean?
Did I hear you mention clean with the other place?
Yeah, what's that? The Old Country, yes, clean, yes, clean.
Really?
Yes. There's another one, listen, I know that I'm going to go back probably to every buffet-style restaurant I've ever eaten at, so you won't hear a bad-mouthing of any of those places, but I will tell you, the last one I went to that will go nameless, not really the cleanest one I've ever been in, and also kind of brand new. So I just want, you know, they should be aware of the fact that you can always tell when you walk in the doors, and there's a glass door, and it's not the cleanest door you've ever seen. You can tell by the door. You can always take a look at the front door. But this place had ham, chicken, roast beef. They had barbecued ribs.
You should be like the food critic for one of those free newspapers you get at the grocery store.
I would be very good at that. And, you know, I went back on doing the protein again, and so I can't eat any carbohydrates. So I was actually really looking for protein. Now, the problem at the other place is that they'd only have a few of the proteins, and the proteins were kind of eh. Well, this, I mean, it was a meat lover's paradise is what it was. Not only can you order your own steak if you want. You know, you order a steak and you get the buffet.
Right.
That's why it's called the Great American Steak and Buffet.
Are they paying you for this?
No, I'm just telling you, when something's good, I like to rave about it. And I'll tell you, I went in there and you know, it was very, very crowded. But because of the fact they had so much stuff, it was fantastic. And the only thing that I diverted from the carbohydrates, I was trying to you know, withhold the carbos. And then I saw they had the freshly baked apple turnovers there. And I walked by them once, walked by them twice, third time, just had to grab one. And I know I blew it a little bit, but not totally. But it was a fantastic experience. You know, the beverages came on a regular basis from our waitress. It was quality dining for the whole family. And when you have kids, my kids are 4 and 2, you want to just bring them into a place, you want to sit them down, you want to get like a plate full of food and get it in front of them as soon as possible. It's just the way I enjoy eating and the way I enjoy dining. So I just would like to give it, Don, I know you're laughing, but I'd like to give it 4 stars. Absolutely phenomenal. And you know, there was one item in particular.
Why don't you give it 4 cement blocks? Like the cement blocks that you would put under the where the wheels of the car should be in your front yard.
There were lots of shirts and ties in there. There really were.
Yeah, lots of string ties.
Some cowboy ties. There was a string tie.
Maybe the errant bow tie.
There were some big people, as you're going to get in every buffet. There were people that were big.
Professional
leaders who know that quantity does matter. You know, don't ever think quantity doesn't matter. Quantity does matter. There was one thing they did. They had the big beef ribs in the barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a bit of a labor to get the meat off of those ribs.
You know what?
Yeah.
If I just went with the tone of what you were saying.
Yeah, right.
If I was from a foreign land and didn't speak English, I could probably say to this man is describing the best sex that he ever had in your life. You should hear how you come to life.
A good buffet.
When you're talking about a good buffet.
A good all-you-can-eat buffet excites me because, you know, usually at an all-you-can-eat buffet, what are they doing? They're throwing out the cheapest stuff they can. They're trying to cut corners. They're trying, because it's all you can eat, and they know that. So they're going to give you, the No, this place was giving you quality food. Not only did they have the big beef ribs, but you know what they did? What? In the same barbecue sauce, in the next, bucket over, they had the beef ribs cut off the meat in cubes like big, giant pieces of beef. And it was in there, so you could just reach in with one of their, thank you, Rob, with one of those oversized spoons and just take out about four chunks of this beef and then put it down, on
Sounds
your plate.
Sounds delicious, Mike.
And the chicken, and the fried and broiled.
Oh, yeah.
So it wasn't, for those of you dieters out there, fried and broiled. The seafood, the fried seafood, didn't have it myself because I can't eat that. My brother-in-law. Not the best he's ever had.
Okay. And,
frankly, he had some of those fried shrimp and, perhaps too much time in the freezer.
What was the cost per person?
The total cost, and I'm not exaggerating.
Cost per person.
I can't do cost per person. I could, because the
sure you can divide by eight.
Well, no, I can't do that kind of math. You know that. Why would I be eating that place if I could do that kind of math? Let me see. My brother-in-law, sister-in-law, me, my wife, my daughter, my other daughter. And the two, so eight of us.
That's what I just said, divide by eight.
Eight of us, the total tab, I think, was $40. Now, you tell me.
That's $5 a person.
You tell me, because the two little ones ate for free. The two little ones ate for free.
Yeah.
Kids eat free. They don't need to throw that sign in the window that says kids eat free. They just tell you when you come in because they don't want to, in the front is, kind of a red, white, and blue motif as you're coming in, which my four-year-old likes. She said, Daddy, red, white, and blue. And I'm like, yes, it is. We're going to the great American Steakhouse. And I just want to tell you that I will return there. I would like if less people would be there, but I'm
not now. Now that you've given this ringing endorsement, as soon as Dukes of Hazzard is over today, my doors are going to be jammed with folk.
Prime time to 1 o'clock on a Sunday, kind of like everybody venturing out after Sunday go to meeting. And it was in there, and it was very, very crowded. And of course, the obligatory little ice cream thing for the kids, where they get the ice cream afterwards. It was, just rarely do you have a quality experience like that, and I had it. And
drive by one of these places one of these days, and it's going to be like the first time I saw one of those.
Right.
What's the other place you love?
Right. See, I can't say that I love it
that
now.
You used to love.
I used to love, and I still would go into probably for a breakfast meal. I'd probably go. Well, there are two places I go to. I go to Bob Evans with the kids.
Right.
You won't go hungry. You won't go broke. I go to the Old Country Buffet.
Okay, that place. I heard you talk about this place endlessly.
There's the Chinese place.
Well,
the Walk and Roll Buffet.
I'm out on 95.
That's true. It's the name of the place.
And I see the signs for this Old Country Buffet.
We just got Milwaukee's best custard, too.
And
hey, I'm sorry. It's,
I think it's Rita. That's the place that Mike always goes to.
Mm-hmm.
And we drove by. And we about bust a gut laughing looking at that place.
Well, hey, it's good food, plenty of it, clean. That's it, clean.
And reasonable
prices. It's tough to keep a place like clean, because people at the all-you-can-eat places, it's spraying all over the place. They're trying to get as much in there, and it's tough, and they pull it off. There's lots of steam, coming out. When you see lots of steam in the buffet line, that stuff's going to be hot. That's what I like, too. Don't let the thingy, the little propane or whatever they have underneath the plates, don't let that go out.
This has not been a paid announcement.
No, not at all.
This
no, I'm not getting it. I will
free
pay.
Testimony.
I wouldn't take a free meal if they offered it to. Well, that's not true. No, but I wouldn't. I think it's a good soft $40. Everybody, eight of us, all fed.
Imagine that.
It was terrific. Then out to Toys R Us, for a couple of walks up and down the aisles with the kids and home. What a day.
What a day.
Yeah, terrific weekend.
Weekend at Bernie's.
Just a fantastic. I'm a simple man. Doesn't take a lot to please me.
I bet it'll be crowded after the next episode of 18 Wheels of Justice, starring G. Gordon Liddy on the National Network.
Well, after that trucker protest down in D.C., probably be crowded on the way home tonight, I would think, probably.
Okay.
Because those truckers know good eating.
Oh, they do.
Yes, they do.
They do. Well, they finally sent them positive about truckers.
But yeah, they do know the good places to eat, and I that's about all.
Hello there. Don and Mike show. Hello.
The only bad thing about the old country buffet is that the food isn't actually cooked.
What do you mean, honey?
The meat is uncooked.
Now, you might have had a bad experience.
I've been there three times.
You've been there three times? I think I might have sat next to you at the Great American Steak and Buffet this weekend.
Oh, I don't live in Virginia.
Are you a... Oh, you don't live in Virginia?
No.
Okay. Would you be a woman of a larger carriage?
I'm a big woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Big
right.
woman.
Right. Maybe
I know
someone,
my food, sir.
Maybe it was somebody who looked like you.
Well...
Yeah.
Well, what did you want to say there, honey?
Oh, the food from the old country buffet is food you get other food with.
I've never had food at the old country buffet that was not cooked.
Mm.
Always been cooked.
Perhaps it's the different state.
That's, hey, you know what?
Sure.
You're as good as your manager. You're as good as your manager. Well, I mean, that's what I would believe.
Okay.
As good as your manager.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Now all of your people are calling in.
I welcome them, Don. I welcome them all.
Don and Mike show.
They're good people.
Yeah,
Yeah, pull your General Lee over to the payphone and give us a ringy. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, honey.
Hi there.
Hi. Okay. I live in Wichita. Hold on. Hey, let me quiet. I live in Wichita, Kansas, and I'm
Lady Madonna.
You guys are coming to town.
Baby at your breast. What can we do for you?
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
what?
You know Greg, who works there, like in your office?
No, we have no one named Greg who works there.
Greg, what is his last name?
Are you confusing where we work with the station in Wichita?
No, I listen to you guys all the time.
Oh.
And about a year and a half ago, I called.
What would the last name be?
Oh, what is his last name?
Greg what?
Sherman, sir. Oh, what is it?
Oh, yeah, really? We have no one named Greg that works on this show.
Yes, you do. He works in the morning show.
Oh, that Greg.
Yeah, he goes to work at 5:30 in the morning.
And you know that Greg?
Yes. I've been talking to him for like a year and a half.
Oh, Jesus.
He's the board operator for the morning show.
Yeah,
here.
He does the commercials and stuff.
Yeah, he does the commercials.
Yeah. Well,
those fantastic commercials.
Yeah.
All right, now let me just inform the audience that we're about to go into a dangerous area now.
Yes.
Because what's happened is, for whatever reason, this lady from Wichita calls our toll-free number, which rings in the studio, obviously in the 20 hours a day that we're not here.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm guessing is that when you called, and why you would call our number in the morning, I don't know.
Well, no. About a year and a half ago, I called.
Yeah?
My friend Rose and I called to see if you guys were going to come on Saturday, to work on Saturday.
Okay.
Well, he answered the phone, and we started talking to him. He had kind of like a sexy voice.
And a friendship blossomed?
Yes.
Ah, good.
Very much so.
Has there been...
And since you guys are coming to Wichita...
I would agree with that sexy voice part.
Maybe you guys could bring him with you.
Bring Greg Andrew with us?
He does know I'm calling. If he knows I call, he will kick my butt.
You know, here's a funny thing, really. Don, how many times have I told you when we go on the road,
constantly,
is there any chance we can take Greg Edger?
Bring Greg Edger with us.
Maybe to do some of our production elements.
Has he ever asked you to?
John Pop is entering the studio. The producer for the G. Gordon Liddy program.
Here he is.
Incredible!
Hi, Johnny. Hi, guys. I just wanted to let you know that I've been coming in early lately because of different reasons, and I've fielded many calls from this young lady looking for Mr. Edger.
Oh, really?
Yes. So I recognized her voice the second I heard her on.
Really?
Yes. Apparently, they're good friends.
Oh, really?
Thank you.
All right. John, how good would you classify good friends?
I'd say very close chums.
Would you say intimate?
I don't know about that. I couldn't get anything out of Greg. He was very tight-lipped about it, so to speak.
Thank you, Johnny. So you call all the time to talk to this guy?
Yeah.
And,
I call him before I go to work, and then...
Do you do sex talk?
You would like to know. No.
Yes, we would.
We don't do sex talk.
No, come on. Did you do something close to sex talk?
Well, I'm not saying anything.
Let me say, is it ever romantic?
Not really.
Has he ever asked you to describe yourself?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And have you ever asked him to describe himself?
Yeah.
Have you ever talked about your body?
Like, yeah, I told him what my body looks like.
Right. Has he ever said, hey, well, I wish we could get together? Has that ever...
Well, I've been wanting to come down and see him.
You've been wanting to come down and
yeah,
see him? And has
we've
he,
been kind of talking about...
Has he encouraged
really
that
sex.
Behavior?
Huh?
Has he encouraged that behavior?
Well, I don't know.
Well, he kind of has, right?
Well, you know, he wouldn't mind meeting me.
Sure,
you know?
Of course. Right.
But...
Yes, hold on. Yes, Professor Spiewak has a question also.
No, just to let the record reflect and to restate that the reason she first started talking to Greg is that he had a sexy voice. So I think we know what she's after.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Sure.
Well, my friend friend Rose talked to him, too.
Oh, yes.
So.
Rose.
Ah, sweet
Maybe
Rose.
Maybe it could be a little Edger sandwich.
Well, I think that this is slightly pathetic that you're calling a radio station at odd times of the day and you're talking to guys who... Let me just hip you.
No, I did call him, like, at odd times when I first met him.
With no offense to Greg Edger,
right,
who is a fine employee, generally, the guys who are board operators at radio stations, and I include all of the guys that are running the board for us now.
Board operators and production workers.
All of those guys, they generally are the biggest friggin' losers in the world.
He is not.
They are guys. I told you. I'm not saying that about your sweetie.
Nice guy.
I'm saying that other than your sweetie, Greg Edger, most board ops are total losers.
He's not. He's the real enchilada.
But the rest of them...
My husband even knows about them.
All the rest of...
Oh, your husband?
Yeah.
All the rest of them are guys who can't get real jobs in radio.
Husband?
He does a very good job. Like,
now, wait a minute. What are you doing flirting with a board operator while you're married?
My husband flirts, too.
Really? You have an open relationship? Do you have an
Does
open
your husband
letter?
Flirt with Greg Edger?
No, he does not.
You know what? Hold on, honey. I'm going to have to call Greg, yeah.
Ah, very good.
I'm just going to have to call him. Greg Edger.
Oh, I don't...
Hey, where's the phone list?
To the witness stand.
I've only got the inside numbers here. Like, what?
Very lonely here in the morning.
I guess so. Jesus.
You know, you're not doing the show. You're playing someone else's show. And, you know, probably a lot of time on his hands.
I guess he does have
to chat.
I want to say
sure.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, what a mess this is. Are you getting that number?
Rob is.
Robbie's getting the number.
Okay.
And like I say, stand by my earlier statement.
Yes.
The generally, whoever is a board op is someone who, for whatever reason, can't make it in radio. And they're hanging on. It's like they're on a cliff. And they're hanging on by their fingernails. They're like fingernails down a chalkboard.
Mm-hmm.
They're that close from being out of radio.
True.
Thank you, Buzzy.
Here's the number.
Look at that. Hey, you know what that is? That's yes. Two victories for you,
That's
Buzzy.
Two for two for you today.
How about me, huh? Hold that up again, please.
All right.
Hold that up. And Rob, I'll give you some attention also, but Buzz beat you.
Yes, he did.
Beaten by an old man, Robbie.
That will change.
You have reached 301.
Okay,
sorry no one's here to answer your call at this time, but if you leave your name and number, we'll get back to you as soon as we can.
It is a sexy horse.
Hey, honey, go ahead. I've just dialed his home number. Leave him a message.
Oh, hi, Greg. This is Bruce. Give me a call. Well, you don't got my number, so. I'll call you tomorrow. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, Greg, it's Don and Mike.
What's
up? Not a loser.
You have phone sex with this girl, Greg?
Greg, we took a call from her, and she wanted to speak to only you, and we hear a baby in the background. Is it yours?
No. Uh-uh. My baby's sleeping.
No, but did Greg Edger father that baby?
No, he did not father that baby.
Okay, yours is sleeping. Whose baby are you taking care of?
I babysit.
Oh, you babysit.
Did you speak to Greg this morning?
Yes, I did.
You did? What did you two speak about this morning?
Oh, nothing. Really, about the kids.
Did you speak about your body?
No, I did not speak about my body.
When's the last time you spoke to Greg about your body?
I think it was yesterday.
Yeah. How old is that other child in your charge?
Huh? How old is my baby?
Yeah, the baby you're taking care of.
Oh, she is going on three.
Going on three.
Yeah. What does your body look like?
Oh, gosh. Okay. I'm not, like, really skinny or anything.
Tell me the same way you tell him.
I just told him that I'm not that thin. I'm muscular. Mm-hmm. I have a little pooch.
A little pooch?
Yes, I haven't lost all my baby weight yet.
Oh, you have like a kangaroo sack.
Punch.
Yes.
A punch, yes.
A pooch.
So.
And what about your measurements, honey?
Oh, gosh.
What is I'm not asking you anything that Greg hasn't asked you already.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is like on national air here.
Honey, you called us. And, okay. You know, hold on. Before you answer that. All of this is still being recorded on Greg Edger's answering machine. So let's just take this opportunity to say, Greg, we were just trying to hook you up with the girl who you talk with every morning.
Yes, you know her as That's the Truth, Ruth.
Ruth, would there be anything you'd like to say to Greg before we disconnect with him?
No, not really.
How about just a farewell or something? Say something nice.
Can he come to with you guys, to Wichita?
Greg, can you come to Wichita?
Can you please bring him? Because I'd really love to see him.
Well, what about your husband?
I talked to my husband last night about it.
And? What did you
he
tell him?
He said, you? That's fine. He said he can come down. He doesn't care.
Hmm. Did you tell your husband you want to have sex with Greg?
No, but it's not like that.
But really? It could be.
No, I wouldn't let it. No, I wouldn't let it be that.
Oh, you wouldn't? Okay.
No.
Well, good for you.
What if he good forced himself on you?
I don't know.
hold on a second. This might be Greg calling us now. The hotline is ringing right now. Hold on there. And Greg, on your answering machine. See you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hold on.
Is this him?
Hold on.
Is it Greg? Greg? Okay. Yeah. Let me handle this first. Hey, Greg.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Listen, we're just answering our phones.
Don, you're dogging me, man.
No, listen. This girl called us, and she asked to speak to you.
Okay.
She called us, and she asked to speak to Greg. We said, we don't have anybody named Greg who works on this show. And
right.
She says, no, in the morning. And we said, well, there is a Greg who works here in the morning, but it couldn't be the same guy. And she said, no, that you're the board op for the morning show. And that she calls you all the time.
Do you know the name of Ruth?
Yeah, she calls.
Okay. Hey, can you do something for me, Greg?
I'm very polite, guys.
Hey, Greg?
That's what it's about. I'm a very polite guy, yes.
Can you do something just for me? Can you say Don Pablo's the real enchilada?
Hey, I heard that. That's pretty good. That was a nice little, minuet you put in there, Mike. That was cool.
Nice little minuet.
Hold on.
Greg's the real enchilada.
Here is Ruth now. Ruth, here is your dream boat. Board operator Greg Edger. Ruth?
Yes, I'm here.
Ruth, here he is. He's on the line, honey.
Hello? I can barely hear.
Really?
You got to really speak up, Ruth, so Greg can hear you.
Greg?
Yes?
They're not going to let you come to Wichita because they're mean.
They're not going to let me come to Wichita?
Yeah.
Why are we mean?
Huh?
Why is that why you called?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Hey, listen, you stinky hoe. Why are we mean?
You're not mean. I'm just teasing you.
You know, if he really wants to come to Wichita, he could probably come on his own without us.
No.
And Greg, you'll be interested to know she's already run this idea by her husband.
And her husband says it's okay with him.
Well, I'm not that easy.
Oh.
She told us that you've asked about her body. So did we. We're about to find out how big her boobs are.
No.
I'm just very polite. I want to be cordial. I'm just very polite.
Very
polite.
It's
not like we have a thing going on. We just talk.
Thank you.
She told us you guys talked yesterday, and you talked about her body yesterday.
Well, he asked what I looked like.
Right.
You
said you were muscular with a little pooch.
Okay, but Don.
Yes,
how long did she say we've been talking?
A year and a half.
Okay, and just yesterday I asked her about her body, man. Come on.
Come on,
you know,
Dan.
Not that interesting.
Oh, no, there's
come on, Dan.
Well, listen, then why don't you let her down easy, Greg? Is there any chance for you and
Ruth? I would take a free trip to Wichita, man.
Oh, no, I'm not giving. I'm not giving, but why don't you just let her down easy? Is there any chance for Ruth to be the next Mrs. Greg Edger?
Ruth is married. The next ex of Greg Edger? No.
Happily married.
Yeah, she's married.
Is this true, Greg? You've been married 3 times already?
No, not 3 times.
How many times have you been married?
Once.
Hold on, Charlie. Do you have other information?
I thought it was 3, Greg.
No, man. I have 3 kids.
Oh, I misunderstood.
All from different women?
Yes.
Oh! You're the man.
Wow.
You're the man with your fertile seed.
Man, oh, man. Well, I guess you this woman takes care of lots of kids, so it'd probably be a perfect match. If you just get her pesky husband out of the way.
Listen, Greg, we're only calling you because we had no idea what she was talking about.
Okay.
And we'd appreciate if you could keep your phone hose from calling us in the future. Control your women, Greg.
I'm sorry, guys.
You got it. All right. Thank you, Greg.
All right. Later.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Well, Ruth, there you go. There's your man.
Yes, whatever.
Oh, you hear that in their voice. You know, that's the sound of a woman who realizes that it's over.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, no more of the fantasy.
Married.
The fantasy is over, Ruth.
Never a fantasy.
Oh, sure there was. Ruthie?
There was not a fantasy.
You know what Greg is now?
My friend Rose was the one who had the fantasy.
He's ruthless. Get it? He's without Ruth. He's ruthless.
Yes, sir.
His babe Ruth.
She's gone. She's gone.
His baby Ruth.
Okay.
She's out of my life.
All right, Ruth, listen, I don't want you calling Greg anymore. You hear me? I don't want you to call him anymore.
Why not?
He's very busy. He's barely holding on to this job here.
Okay?
He doesn't need to be distracted by horny housewives from Wichita calling him at 6 o'clock in the morning.
I am not a horny housewife.
Oh, honey, you're the horniest housewife I've talked to today.
Less time on the phone and more time tending to those children.
Okay.
For God's sakes.
Who's that with the tuberculosis in the background
That's
there?
My husband.
Oh, my God.
For God's sakes, call a local disc jockey if you want to get laid. Don't call one from Washington, D.C.
No, it wasn't like that.
Oh,
it wasn't.
Sure.
We were calling to see if you guys were going to be on the air one Saturday.
Right, and I understand that. A year and a half ago, one phone call. But how many times have you called him since? 100?
There's more to the story.
Yes, we know. But
yes, of course there is. You've struck up a friendship with him.
Yes.
Yes.
Nothing good can come of this, Ruth.
I know. We're just
yes.
phone pals, I guess.
And you know, you ought to tend to those children and take care of your ailing husband who's hacking away on the sofa.
Why don't you put your old man on the phone?
That's a good idea.
An excellent idea.
No, honey.
No, let me talk to him.
They want to talk to you. He doesn't want to talk.
Is he smoking?
No, he doesn't smoke.
Well, he's just got a chest cold?
Yeah.
Ask him if he doesn't want to talk to the guys who are going to help him straighten out his marriage.
Honey, they want to know if you want to talk to the guys who want to help me straighten out our marriage.
I don't have a problem
with his marriage.
Tell him he does, because you're calling Greg Edger every month.
I am not.
Is your husband part of the proud 4%?
Huh?
Is your husband part of the proud 4% who choose not to work in this country?
He works.
Oh, he works. Ah. Okay.
He is a painter, and right now it's downpouring. So,
it's downpouring.
It's downpouring.
It's downpouring outside. I heard Bob Ryan here in Washington, D.C. say that just the other night. We're having some downpouring.
All right, honey. Well, listen, don't call Greg anymore, please. He really needs to concentrate on his job. And there's no future for you with him. He's just too polite to tell you that.
You really ought to, you know, especially if you're babysitting, pay attention to your baby, the kids you take care of, and, and Cooter.
You are just a plaything to him. You're just a ball of yarn to him.
Well, I know that.
Mm-hmm. Greg Edger wields his penis like the Three Musketeers did their swords.
Okay.
You hear me?
Yes, nothing good can come of this. It would simply be heartbreak. Heartbreak
okay.
And another mouth to feed.
He would simply take out his penis and make a giant Z on you. You know, like Zorro. You know?
Okay.
Like that.
Oh, man.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Ruth.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
All right.
Glad we could help.
Bye.
There she goes.
She was a whore.
Now, if she had an affair with Buzz, that would be something. Then it would be Ruth and Buzzy.
Oh, and of course, you know, here's Dennis Murphy.
Hello, Gong Hong. How are you doing?
Hey, Dennis.
Congratulations.
On what?
Oh, on your New York gig.
Oh, thank you, Dennis. Yes, we're very proud of that.
Thank you. I'm calling to Wichita. Let Marco meet Ruth.
It's always, always, always about you.
About me.
Yes, it is. Dennis, she's married. She has kids.
Oh, okay.
Besides, she's already been virtually having sex with Greg Edger. God
yeah.
knows how many other disc jockeys she's calling and having phone sex with.
Probably 110 more.
Right. You don't want to be the last member of that train.
You don't need that heartbreak. Yeah, you don't need that heartbreak.
Don't need that, Dennis.
Okay.
Well, all right.
Congratulations on New York gig, and
thank
I guess
you.
I'm off the show, right?
You're off the show?
Yeah.
Yes, Dennis, finally. I guess you realize it now.
Right.
Okay.
Why do you say that?
Why are you saying that, Dennis?
It looks like you're going to move to New York.
We are going to be in New York 3 days a week.
But, God, you know you're going to be there eventually for God.
No, Dennis, I made a commitment to my family. I'm not moving.
Okay. Okay.
I made no such commitment, Dennis. I will be moving.
He's not moving either. We're staying here, Dennis.
Okay.
We're just going to be up there 3 days a week.
Okay.
Now, you play your cards right, and don't call every time some piece of ass is on the telephone, and maybe you'll be able to come to New York someday.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We'll draw straws for whose room you stay in.
Me and
Rob A
have the room.
Rob A.
Of course.
The chosen one. You are the chosen one.
Of course. It's Buddy Rob A.
Hey, Rob.
Yeah.
Of course, I'll be on top.
I don't even know what the hell that means.
All right, goodbye, Dennis.
Again, congratulations.
All right,
Mike.
You said it already.
Thank you. Have a pleasant day.
Mike.
What?
I still love you.
I love you, Dennis.
And what's that buffet again? Old country buffet?
Come on, goodbye.
Okay. Have a pleasant day, Don.
Thank you, Dennis.
Adios.
Bye.
There he goes like the wind.
There he is. All I can say about that is, blah.
There he is.
They got it. Dennis Murphy.
Blah.
We'll be back with much more show.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It's not...
To escape the city is on, and motorists race to beat the tangle of traffic found around the Bay Bridge at the start of every Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, it's okay until you hit this stinking bridge. Eight lanes and you still gotta wait.
Toll booths look like starting lines as city residents make their way towards Sun and Surf.
We're going to do it!
Some motorists say heading out a little early paid off.
Usually in Annapolis, you can't get through there after about 4 o'clock. So we thought if we hit a little earlier, we'd make it without getting too much traffic. It looks okay.
And local radio personalities Don and Mike sent an emissary to provide motorists with a little entertainment.
Look at me! I'm Robbie! Happy Memorial Day, man! Have a good one! Enjoy!
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll-free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Tony Perkins has gone coast to coast to California's capital, Sacramento. Hi, Tony.
Good morning, Pete. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, America, for Rail Fair 99 or the nationally syndicated Don and Mike radio shows in town today. These folks are excited.
With a chunk of Pat Summerall's stomach in every delicious bite. Yeah. Guaranteed. The Don and Mike Show.
Hello there, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I went to high school with that girl named Ruth.
Oh, the girl who's calling Greg all the time?
Yes, I went to high school with her, and she porked everybody in high school.
Oh, my God.
Really, she on her back a lot?
Oh, good Lord. Hey, Buzz, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Did you have sex with her?
No, I didn't.
Oh, man.
How could everybody have had sex with this girl and not you?
Well, just a large portion of my friends did, but...
Is there a chance you could be saying that because... You know, you really wanted to, but she didn't give it up for you?
You know, that is a good possibility.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Great possibility.
How many guys do you think she did in your high school?
Oh, it could have been at least 15.
At least 15 all at the same time?
Oh, no. That would have been sweet, though. Hey, I know who the Secret Sounder is, by the way. Woo!
Sure.
Trying to call in.
Right, goodbye.
Thank you.
Goodbye. See, he just blew... Any credibility he had about that girl being a whore in high school.
No, that's off the God truth.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, we went to Mulvane High School. Graduated in 92.
Now, you're a disgruntled, scorned suitor.
No.
You wanted to bang that girl in high school. She wouldn't have anything to do with you,
that's
so
right.
Now you're mad.
Touche. But it's off the God truth.
Touche.
Touche, guys.
And two, Brute.
How are we doing so far?
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, wow.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Donnie, buddy.
Buddy.
How you doing?
Hello, we're doing great.
Hey, man. Way to smack that woman around from Wichita. That was a great bit of comedy. I'm telling you.
Boy, hot damn. What a nice image that is.
This is O.J. Simpson, everybody.
Very good. O.J.
That's O.J. calling. So way to smack that woman around.
Sure is. Well, I wasn't saying that. I mean, you guys obviously portrayed her as a dummy woman, and that Ed guy doesn't work at your station. And
Ed,
it was great.
He is so unqualified to be calling.
Well, they all are, Mike.
That's true. I should realize that.
The guy's name is Greg, not Ed.
Oh, is it Greg?
Yeah.
Oh, well, shoot. He doesn't work at your station, though, does he?
Have you been drinking, sir?
Yes.
Sure.
What time did you start?
Somewhere around 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock, very good.
Yeah, same as Mike.
That's right, absolutely, pal.
Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Buddha's a
Broadcasting.
Hi there.
Hey, I was wondering, you hit on the Sopranos earlier. How long do you think it's going to be before Tony rips Richie's head off and takes a big, healthy, ZD dump in his throat?
You know what? That is a great dynamic. And what they keep doing with Richie and Tony is that Tony keeps getting pissed, but he never goes over the edge with Richie.
They're creating that energy between those two of them, and they're doing it so brilliantly, and you just don't know, and that's what's great about it. You don't know how long it's going to last. There's a little give and take here and there. Then there's the conflict.
Oh, and I just remembered the part with Tony's sister.
Right.
What a B.I.S.
Oh, yeah, when she's doing the same thing the mother does.
They're driving in the car, and she's saying to him, he says, well, hey, I have to be respectful to Tony. He gave me 50 large, and she says, he gave you 50 large? 30 years ago, they gave a guy 50 large when he came out of the joint.
The exact same dynamic that the mother had with Junior Soprano. It's the exact same thing that the sister's doing with this guy, Richie, and I love it.
The sister's going to push him to where he pushes Tony just as far as he can, and I know Tony's going to handle it himself. He's going to take it personally, and that's going to be the end of Richie.
Yeah, it was the best episode of The Sopranos that I've seen this year, the one that was on fun. Sunday night. Thank you, my friend.
You bet.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Finally, some intelligent conversation. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Radio Guy. What's up?
Hey, buddy.
In his online chat today, Frank Ahearns was asked the question that you wanted to know, Don.
Oh, really? Did somebody ask him how come he didn't put it in his column that we're going to New York?
Yeah, I will read the question first because it's worded so well.
You know what I want to say? I know that we get pissed at people a lot of times, but I love our people, our spies out there, our people who every week go to this Washington Post online and just absolutely pepper this prick with questions that he must answer about how he doesn't report stuff about it. You people, you're beautiful.
This is fantastic, and this is the guy that deserves it.
All right, so what does it say?
All right, here's the question. Well, last week we learned from other sources that Don and Mike shows will soon be heard in New York City. And a particular note that the program will originate nearly half the time from New York and be carried on tape delay back on WJFK. Big news that one of the market's leading programs is kind of leaving town, right? But no mention in your column today. Why not?
Right, so that's a good question. Somebody asked the question.
Right.
You know, we're going to be partly living in New York, doing the show from New York.
Right.
How come no mention in the column today? An excellent question. Now, what is his response?
His response was, well, I guess that's the big announcement they were promising. WJFK's former GM, Ken Stevens, has moved to New York. It's not surprising he'd pick up the show there. This is a big move for Don and Mike, if it is true, and it is a good news story about them leaving town. The reason it wasn't in my column is that I've got no official word from them about this.
Got no official word? We announced it on the radio on Friday. It was in the New York Post on Friday. It was in the New York Times on Saturday.
Yeah, I guess these guys don't do any real reporting. I guess
in the New York Daily News today.
I guess if it's not spoon-fed to them, they're not going to
trawl
it out.
That's crap. that's crap. You know how radio people are. Radio people are like, well, anybody listening to us right now, no matter what business you're in, you're in the insurance business. You hear about a guy in the insurance business who you know who's gotten a new job. People talk.
Right.
I mean, even if he didn't hear it directly, I guarantee that this guy is such a worm, someone said to him over the weekend, hey, did you hear Don and Mike are making a big deal about the fact that they're going to New York?
Absolutely.
All right, he's a prick. Screw him.
Just send him a press release and see what the hell his response is next week.
The press release is right here on the radio.
That's right.
That's where he gets all this other bad stuff he writes about us. He listens plenty when he wants to write something bad about us.
Didn't he call in advance of this, wanting to know before we could go public with it?
Yes, he did. As a matter of fact. Hey, Broyhill, come here. This is interesting. I'm glad you remembered that, Mike.
Right.
This is very interesting. That when we originally went on the air and said that we had a big announcement on Feb 28.
Right.
When did Frank Ahearns call you and ask you about that?
I want to say it was last week, Wednesday or Thursday.
And what did you tell him then?
I told him that you'll have to wait and hear it like everybody else.
There you go.
Okay. So he was obviously aware.
He was aware something was coming down because, I mean, he listened to the show.
Right.
It's funny that he didn't hear that part when we were talking about where we were going.
Of course he heard it.
He asked me if I would get in touch with him early enough so he could put it in his column.
Like us announcing it on the radio on Friday didn't give him enough time.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
How come every other media source in the world was able to find out about it? Huckabee was in all those New York newspapers, and our show can't even be heard in New York till next Monday.
That's right.
How could that be?
But I love these people online with him that let him know.
Good job. Beautiful. Thank you, my friend.
All right, buddy.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, buddy. Bye-bye.
Oh, good for them. Yeah, I love it.
What a jag-off he is. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello.
Don.
Yes.
Hey, it's Nate in Concord.
Yes, hello, Nate.
You don't give up on this Winston Cup thing, man. That was a boring race, but that's some great stuff.
What is that? Are you talking about Daytona?
Yeah.
Well, since the first time that I ever thought I'm going to sit down, I'm gonna block out 4 hours like I would to watch football.
You scheduled it.
Yeah.
And you know,
I had my day on Sunday planned.
That's why I was fired up. You were about to watch one finally, and I thought, man, he's going to give it a chance. Well, that was the most boring race I've seen, and I've been watching it forever.
I gave it
a good chance.
I gave it the entire 4 hours. Mm-hmm. I watched. Now, I tell you, I do like.
Didn't the guy get hit though? Didn't the guy break his leg or something coming out of the pit row? Didn't I see that? Was that in Daytona?
A guy got like run over the hood of a car.
I
saw the highlights.
The week before.
Oh, the qualifying. Okay.
Yeah.
I love
in the 125.
I love the cameras in the cars. I love the shots.
Cool
when,
stuff.
When they got a camera that they not only do you see like the guy's hands steering and stuff.
Right.
They got a camera out the side.
Work.
They got stuff that shows how many miles an hour the guy's going, right. How many RPMs his engine is going.
And they roll over. And the cameras are going, and it's just cool stuff.
Yeah, except the race was boring as hell, man.
Yeah, give it a chance. It's good stuff.
I mean, I would rather watch the New Orleans Saints play. Who's a crappy team? I'd rather not watch
Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, I'd rather watch New Orleans than Cincinnati.
See, even though Cincinnati came on at the end of the season, it's always nice to say. That's kind of an automatic for me. So who's a sucky team?
I Cincinnati.
Say Cincinnati Bengals.
I'd rather watch them play a 0-0 tie for four quarters and watch Daytona again, but I'll try it. Thank you, my friend.
Very good.
Thank you. All right. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hi.
Hey, Don.
Hey, yes, David.
Buddy. Hey, my wife calls that guy Greg, too.
Oh, does she really?
Well.
Yeah.
How do you know?
Because she tells me. She says he got a nice voice and he's nice to her, and it pisses me off. My wife.
Who are all these men who can't control their wives that they're calling board operators in a morning radio show?
Well, I mean, she works during the night, so that's, you know, she just calls the show.
Just needs somebody to talk to, like he does.
I guess so, and he's probably over my house while I'm at work.
These are relationships that are born out of convenience.
I love Don and Mike show.
And necessity.
Yeah, hi, Don.
And you know what it leads to? BHB.
Hey.
Babies having babies.
Absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, I have two questions for you.
Yeah, buddy.
First, do you think that Livia Soprano was awake in the back of that car last night listening to them?
Tony Soprano's mother? 100% she was awake.
That's why they edited it the way they did, you know, because you knew that she was getting everything.
Yeah, she hears absolutely, and she was not sleeping. What else?
Okay, the second question is, did you hear what that scumbag Leno did last night?
Jay Leno? No, I was watching David Letterman.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was watching Letterman, too. I stayed up late, was late for work and all that just to watch it. But I flipped over to Leno to see what he was doing. And you figured that they might, you know, give Dave a day in the sun. But he booked your morning favorite guy.
Oh, he had Howard Stern on?
He booked him as a, you know, to try and grab the ratings away.
Oh, that's a mistake. I got to think. Well, Buzz, didn't you say that Letterman was number one?
Number one far and away.
Yeah, well, I just didn't know.
That's a bad move by Howard Stern to go on the Leno show the night that Letterman's coming back.
Yeah, it's not like him. I'm surprised at that. I really am.
He was there, and I was shocked, too. And I was like, I'm not a big fan of his, but I was really thinking that this was a real scumbag thing for Leno to do. So.
Well, you know, Jay Leno is fighting. I'm sure Jay Leno knew last night that he had... Nobody was going to be watching him.
I think really a real scumbag thing for Leno to do would be to come out during his monologue and then put his hand to his temple and start going, and then roll his eyes back in his head and collapse. Now that would have been a good move for Leno.
Hello, Tommy.
Hey, Don.
Hey, buddy.
About that Daytona 500, let me just tell you, please give it another chance. I'll tell you the worst thing about watching that race is watching it on CBS. They do the worst coverage.
Why? I thought it was fine.
Ask any race fan, they hate it when it's on CBS.
If you're a connoisseur of racing, you would actually, you know, have your favorite networks. Just like,
with
you know,
football.
I like certain golf, and you like certain football.
Well, what's the difference between racing on there and ESPN?
They do use Denny Parsons and they use Ned Jarrett, but that's it. After that, those two guys.
The only thing that I noticed. Hold on a second. I gotta ask you a question. My only knowledge of NASCAR, besides the fact that every once in a while I watch a race. Is that I have the NASCAR video game,
mm-hmm.
And I know that when I'm in that video game, whenever I run against the wall,
right.
When I clip the wall, one of the guys goes, "Hey," or he says, They're creating a lot of pain out there. You don't see this type of traffic on the Sunday freeway. And whoever says that was the same guy, one of the guys that was calling the Daytona 500.
Oh, cool.
Probably either Ned Jarrett or the other.
Did that make it more real for you when you were playing the game?
Yeah.
Like Madden with Madden 2000?
I immediately sure. I realized, that's the guy from my video game. That's the guy that every time I hit the wall, he says, hey, or he says, he's going to bust a tire. He's going to bust a tire. That's a very, very limited capability of what they can say when you hit the wall, like, every time going around.
I believe, really, because there was so much press about the Daytona 500 being one of the worst ever because they did modify some of the rules that, you ought to stick with. You probably see some really good, like that truck. You know that one last
week? Oh, that was a great wreck.
Oh, my God.
The guy that broke his leg, Tony Stewart, ran over his own pit man. That was what you were talking about in pit row.
Yeah, and it was
Tony
right after Stewart. Some guy was trying to move a tire.
He was trying to move a tire out of the way, and Tony Stewart ran over his own man. Was that during
the day two to 500?
That was actually during the 500.
Okay, so no, it all happened. So the two things happened. The guy got his leg broken, and also the one guy was driving down the straightaway trying to shake the tire off the front of his car.
Yeah, did you see that? Same driver.
Some guy got both times. Listen, I never knew they had rules like this. This guy goes into the pits to get his tires changed, to add the gas and stuff. And as he's coming out of the pits, one of the guys in his pit crew, one of the tires that he's just taken off the car, he loses control of it. So the tire goes rolling out.
Right.
Yeah,
as the other guys are coming into the pit, they're having to move out of the way from this tire. So what they do is they stop the guy who just had his tires changed. They stop him, and they make him wait like 40 seconds before he can go back out.
Oh, wow.
They penalize him.
Because his pit crew screwed up.
Right, and I'm thinking, Jesus, somebody's going to get fired.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if this guy...
On ESPN, they'll explain it better, and they show more racing, actual racing. Like they'll show when six and five are battling back and forth instead of just showing the first four guys all day long. Okay. One time on ESPN, though,
I just hung up on that guy because you're bored with this. I just want to say, I listen to your old country buffet, okay? You can indulge me with my NASCAR.
I was going to say, wasn't it moments ago you were calling me the greatest redneck in the world here? I think if we combine our loves, we're the perfect guy for this.
Get the
mud flaps with the silhouette of the woman with the, take old bitties.
Hello.
Hey, Don. Hey, man, how's it going?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I heard you talking about NASCAR, and I was wondering.
Yeah, it was a big mistake. I shouldn't have mentioned it.
Oh,
yeah.
Hey, but I think NASCAR a lot more popular than the buffet. Obviously, based on these phone calls.
Now, every neck in the world is going to call us today.
Watching the people drive around the track 100 times and...
Listen, I agree. But I'm telling you, I'm drawn to it for some reason. I'm drawn to it now.
You and a lot of other people. It's very, very popular.
What about hockey? Do you like hockey?
No, hell no.
Well, what's wrong with hockey?
Man, nothing wrong with hockey.
It's action, man. You get to watch people beat each other up and you know what I'm saying?
I saw a fist fight in a NASCAR event, and those are great too. When the guys will really bump.
I saw in the qualifying last week, not when these guys bumped in the car.
No, but when the guy ran out and actually threw a punch, I've seen that before.
Last week in the qualifying, in the pits, after these guys had run the qualifying, one driver was pissed at another driver, and he, like, out of the cars, they'd already pulled the cars in the garage. You're going to start pounding on this guy.
Yeah, it gets intense.
Start beating the crap out of him. I like that. Ralph. Hello, Ralphie.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, do you see in the news this morning there's a new web page for Regis? It's called Smash Regis, where you drop Kathy Lee or bags of money and smash his head.
Oh, really? Do you have the address?
It's just smashregis.com is what they said. I haven't looked at it, but I thought it was pretty
good. Smashregis.com.
All right, let's get Father Time working on this.
Get him on it. That's all I had to tell you.
Why don't you give me the music?
SmashRegis.com. Fantastic.
Funny one.
I'd like to see that.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
I watched them for a couple minutes today. Heard them talking about her hosting Letterman on Thursday night. I cannot believe what a car wreck that's going to be.
Oh, it's good. You know, she's going to be perfectly prepared. They will have everything scripted, everything written for her, and she'll get through it.
I noticed Paul Schaefer said, "Are you serious?" when Dave announced on the show that they ran last night, "Are you serious about having Kathy Lee as co-host?" In the audience, there was maybe a smattering of applause at best, Buzz, when he announced that she was the co-host. Yes.
Let's talk. More internet. I want you to concentrate fully on your mouse right now. SmashRegis.com. How's it going, Buzz?
We're on our way.
Here we go. Hey, everybody. It's time for another episode of Surfing with Buzz.
Here we go.
My part's done. We're waiting on the internet now.
You got all the letters and numbers in there?
Absolutely. www.smashregis.com. Enter.
It's waiting for a reply.
We're now waiting.
Very good.
And what's it saying to you?
It says, contacting host, www.smashregis.com.
Do you have to go through Yahoo for that?
No.
Yahoo's great, Mike. I love Yahoo. Buzz hates it. I love it, though.
I don't hate it.
I use it for everything.
Everybody has a different thing that they use.
What do you use? You don't use Yahoo.
Right now, I'm just using the address bar. I just type in.
No, I mean at home. You know, when you're looking up, like, rollingbandages.com or whatever you're looking for.
Usually just Netscape. That's about all I need.
I'm looking for a new search engine, incidentally. The best one possible. Maybe Yahoo.
I like Alta Vista.
Alta Vista is one of the best.
Alta Vista is a
very good one.
I logged on that one that's advertised on this station, the one where you can win $10,000. You know, they get
the giveaway. Right.
So I logged on it, and I actually said, yeah, why not? I mean, they're all the same anyway. Some are faster, some are slower. And I said, yeah, I'll do this. And then I read the rules. Employees of CBS are ineligible.
Goodbye.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
It was actually, I guess it's one of our guys.
Oh,
one
of really?
His ideas, right?
Mel.com.
Yeah.
How's it going, Buzz?
Well, the homepage never actually fully loaded, but I went ahead and clicked on play the game anyway, so I'm going to try to move on to the next page and see if we have any better luck with that.
Okay, well, we report back to me, please.
I will be happy to do it.
I'll be over here just waiting.
I'll be here, too.
I'll just be waiting, Buzz.
I'll be here. I'll be waiting also.
I know you will. I don't know what it is about you and the computer, Buzz.
There's tension. Whenever there's any computer, there's tension in it.
He's highly reliable.
Yes.
He's a fantastic worker. There's no doubt about it. But when it comes to the internet, that's when the old man in him comes out.
You know, if I was at home using my Roadrunner high-speed internet connection
right
now...
Stop with your plugs for your many commercials.
We'd be there and we'd be back already. No, I'm still waiting for the damn thing to load. I don't know why the equipment... There was no response. The server could be down or is not responding. That's the message we're getting.
You get that Roadrunner stuff for free?
Why... Yes, I do.
Cuts you to the quick, Mike.
It does.
Even Buzz has a deal to get free internet.
You do your own thing, and then I told you about that commercial we had, and now I'd say, we used to get that, and now we don't get that anymore.
Just pay the $20 to AOL.
I don't know.
I
don't know from AOL.
AOL's great. There's nothing you can't get on AOL.
I don't know this AOL you speak of.
Okay. Everybody time out. We have more called You.
The youth's foreign country called AOL.
You will be right back.
This is the dog. On and Mike Show.
There's a syndicated radio show that's huge here in town called the Don and Mike Show. I know they're huge fans of yours. They're coming to town. Could you send us an autographed copy of your book that we could pass on to them?
Wait a minute. You're telling me Don and Mike will read a book about prayer? Okay.
Yeah.
Give them this message.
Okay.
Okay. Tell them both to pray for civility and class.
Ooh.
That's giving God a job, boy.
Thankfully.
They broadcast from Monday till Friday.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
I noticed that this week, on Thursday, we're going to have a couple of guys in studio. I love these guys. I don't know if they're on the Discovery Channel or the Learning Channel. You know the furniture guys?
Yes.
You seen those fat guys?
Yes.
They're cool guys.
Those guys are great.
They're good. They're coming in. Hey, listen, Buzz is turgid about that. Buzz is all turgid.
One of them with the long hair?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Those are the guys I like.
The furniture guys. Also scheduled, Tim Conway very soon.
Very funny guy. He was so much fun with the last time. We were a little worried when he was here the last time because we figured he might be going the route of Harvey Korman. But
senile.
He did all right.
Also a doctor who says anal sex is healthy and that you should have anal sex every day.
I told you.
He's coming on the show to make his point. Next Monday, we debut on WNEW-FM in New York. You know that. We'll be going up there a couple of days a week. That'll be fun to listen to. March 10th, we'll be flying to Los Angeles to tape another appearance on King of Queens.
You're very excited about that.
Where we hopefully will be playing ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And March 17th, live Las Vegas-style show in
Wichita.
Busy.
Lots of stuff coming up. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Jamie.
Yes. Hey, Don, Ray, Mike, Radio Gods, how are you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, just want to let you know, I don't know if this is the same thing that the guy called about earlier, but about that beat the hell out of Regis thing on the internet.
Oh, that reminds me. Buzz, have you had any luck?
I'm looking at Kathy Lee hanging from a cloud right now, preparing to be dropped on Regis as he dances across the bottom of the screen. Yeah.
Oh, so it's a game.
Yes, it is. You can drop a Regis, Hello Kitty, Andre the Giant, a bag of cash, or a bag of better cheddars on Regis.
Well, drop something and see if he really explodes.
I'm trying to figure out how to make her drop here. She's hanging by the hand of God coming out of a cloud there.
Well, I'm afraid we've just gone back into the abyss again.
No.
Were you playing with it during the commercials?
No, I had to load and install the Shockwave player.
Oh, okay.
It required a plug-in in order to operate.
Okay, try and play the game, Buzz.
Okay. There are no instructions on this page that I'm on. I'm trying to get Kathy to just drop.
You're an instruction guy, aren't you?
I am. I like the instructions.
See, that's the difference, Mike.
Yes.
That is the difference. You know what I love about you?
Yes.
You're like me.
Throw them away.
You're not an instruction guy.
Absolutely.
You never have been.
Sure, one door might be on the wrong side, but it doesn't matter. You know, you just want to get that thing up and running.
Put the batteries in, turn it on, and I'll figure out the rest later.
Shove the plugs in there where they're, you know, where it looks like they're supposed to go. You know, I'm just going to need somebody to tell me how to make Kathy Lee drop.
Try clicking.
I've tried that. I'm clicking on Kathy Lee. I clicked on the cloud, the hand of God, and on Regis himself, and she just won't drop.
Man, is Regis' head sitting underneath there getting ready to be smited?
His actual photographed head is on a cartoon body that's dancing back and forth across the bottom of the screen.
So you have to aim to hit Regis.
Right, because he's a moving target.
Oh my
exactly.
God, that sounds like elf bowling. Hey, David Hainline, load that onto your computer because I got to play that.
Buzz, try the keypads that have the arrows.
Okay. Go
sideways and up and down.
You know what you should do? Try double-clicking your mouse to release the head.
Yeah, no, I tried that, too. I tried the double-click action.
That's with the elf bowling, you know, you had to double-click.
Yeah.
Which is good. You know, you remember when I got into that truly obsessive behavior of elf bowling? Which it sounds like a similar type of thing, though, where you have to hit Regis.
Try triple-clicking it.
I'm trying all the buttons.
Try quadruple-clicking it, Buzz.
Try the right mouse button?
Yeah.
Buzz, try the space bar.
Yeah.
Hey, that's
hey!
It.
Hey! Space bar's
the deal.
Yeah, you the man.
You got it. You got to be space bar.
Hey, space bar.
So what are you doing now? Come on.
I'm trying to drop Kathy Lee on Regis. No, he dodged out of the way.
Okay, so you're it's working now? Are there any? You don't have any like speakers in there, right?
No, and this computer has no sound anyway, right?
And now, you're just listening to Buzz play a video game on the internet.
A silent video game as Kathy Lee drops.
Is it a fun game?
It's difficult, actually, because that darned Regis keeps zipping out of the way every time Kathy begins to fall on him.
You think maybe a younger man would have a better chance of winning at that game?
Absolutely. I think you should try it.
Oh, if that's a challenge, I'll be over during the next commercial.
Okay.
Oh, I have to fly the Enterprise here. I would come over right now and show you how to play that game.
No, I understand.
I'm telling David Hainline, load that onto your computer. That sounds like one I'd like to play.
SmashRegis.com.
Have you hit him yet?
No, he's still dodging. He's very clever, that Regis. Kathy Lee falls very slowly, and that gives Regis too much time to run out of the way.
I think Buzz is just slow.
Yeah, that must be it.
Slow and old. But we do love him so. Thank you, my friend.
No problem.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hey, she's trying to smash me. Hello, it's Don and Mike Show. Brian.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, buddy.
What's going on, Radio Gods?
Hi.
Hey, last night I was at the Nitro here in Sacramento.
For all the
WCW.
Oh, wrestling.
I was
thinking what a great combination it would be if you had wrestlers driving the NASCARs. You know, if you had wrestlers and, you know, not only would they bump each other probably more aggressively, but they'd hop out and like, do all their moves, maybe inside the, the racetrack. It would be great. Where'd they go? The infield.
I was waiting.
Oh, you got him?
Yeah. Hold on. Yeah. Hold on. Right. We have a bulletin.
Come in.
Hold on, please. We have a bulletin from Buzz.
Yeah, I actually dropped a Kathy Lee on her head on Regis's head.
Got it. What did Regis do when he got hit?
He collapsed. A little cartoon body collapses, falls right down on the ground.
That's pretty cool.
All right.
Imagine when you go to your next AARP meeting. You'll be able to pass that along to your fellow senior citizens.
Fellow seniors will have. That'll be great.
Bye. Talk of incontinence and of Smash Regis.
My, oh my.
Now we're going to need the depends with this game.
Well, good job, Buzz.
Thank you. you.
Found the website, played
That's
the
it.
Game.
If you need me, I'll be over here dropping Kathy Lee.
Yes, hi.
Got him again.
Anyways, Hulk Hogan came in his limousine, and I was like, hey, Hogan, you ever heard of Don and Mike? He's like, Don and Mike suck. I was like, what?
Yeah, right, I'm sure.
Hogan, like, the whole night.
I'm yeah. sure.
Every time he...
Goodbye. I'm really sure. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello, hi.
Hey, I was wondering if you guys saw the on SportsCenter with Marty McSorley hitting the Vancouver Canucks last night.
I heard about it. I saw it.
Oh,
it's
it
been suspended indefinitely by the NHL.
They should cut that guy's nuts off.
Oh, man.
This guy, all I know is that the guy who got hit... He's a black guy. I don't know how many black guys there are in hockey.
Was he a Bruin? Was he a Boston Bruin?
No, he's playing for the other team.
He was a Canuck.
Playing for the other team. And the game is over. 2 seconds left. And they're just skating around. And this guy from the Bruins comes up from the left side and just with his stick, boom! Just right across the side of this guy's head.
But the guy that got hit was a Bruin?
No, the guy that got hit
was a Canuck. A two-handed slash.
And then this guy in the white jersey, the Canuck guy, he goes down, his head hits the ground, his helmet pops off, and then his body starts twitching.
Oh, my God.
And, like, there's a big pool of blood.
Right.
What a mess.
It was just awful.
Oh, my God. Well, he's been suspended, I guess, indefinitely, and they're not sure what they're going to do with him.
Right.
They might kick him out of the league for that.
Yeah. One more thing, Mike. The senior tour, those golf sandals that Don Guy gave you for Christmas,
yes.
Two or three are using it on the senior tour, and four are using them on the Pro Tour.
Really?
You mean that revolutionary, ahead-of-its-time gift that I gave Mike?
When you gave him that gift, I thought, man, that is a nice gift. I saw them, tried them on, they work great.
Sandals that actually have golf spikes built into them, made strictly for golfers who enjoy playing in the hot weather.
Right, and your feet won't slip.
But that's okay, Mike.
It's all right.
You didn't like that gift.
A nice gift. I wish you would have sent it to me.
I was in a gift shop one time, and I actually tried to put them on the feet of the Slam Man. But they didn't fit very well.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Love the show.
You know, especially on the senior golf tour, I certainly like to see the old men that are using the sandals to, you know, just get a look at the old men toenails. Because the older you get,
the worse they look.
Sure.
Hello.
Hey, the brother that's on Vancouver.
Yeah.
That's Donnie Brashear, I think.
That's
he's a tough guy.
That's correct.
But
thank you, my friend.
Hey, Mike, what's your high score on Elk Bowling?
Elk Bowling? Oh, man, yeah, I don't remember. But I had some great scores. I really did. I think I had, six strikes in a row one time, which was
good deal, man.
Was pretty incredible.
All right, take care, guys.
Very exciting. My pathetic life.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Good day. He's coming. He's coming. Don't worry. He's coming.
Thank you. Kind of sounded like corns are coming.
Hello, Scotty.
John.
Body.
Mike.
What?
Don?
Yeah, what?
Hey, sorry about that. Listen, did you hear Maury Povich screw up last night?
Oh, did he screw up? And I saw it.
On 21?
Unbelievable.
What did he do?
Grand, gave away 50 you know, grand inadvertently.
Uh-huh. He gave away 50 grand to the guy. And, you know, the whole deal is they're in isolated soundproof booths when they compete against each other.
Right, on 21.
And the one lady, like, strikes out. She gets her third strike, and she can't go on anymore, and she's out of the game. But he's not supposed to know it. So Maury proceeds to go right over to the booth and say, now your opponent has just struck out. So what is the dollar amount you want to play for? The point amount? The guy goes, one. So he gets the easiest question. He wins $50,000.
Oh, I understand.
And when they come back, Maury's standing there going,
I screwed up by letting you know that she was out of the game. But, hey, c'est la vie. You're still our champion.
What do you think about the local country club that screwed up with the guy that got the hole-in-one for the car?
What?
Yeah, Mike, what do you think about that?
I'm sorry.
What do you think about that?
I was sitting there thinking about Maury Povich, and then I told you. Maury was so they in the middle of the segment when he was doing this, when he went over there, there was a pause, and it's like they had a horrible sequence of edits where it looked like they were trying to correct it, and then when they came back from commercial, that's when he admitted, I never should have told you that she was out of the game, but, you know, and he says, you would have probably gotten it anyway.
They probably said to him during the break, listen, we tried to edit this.
It's impossible.
We can't fix it because there's no way to make it look like this guy won the game fair and square, so you're just going to have to tell everybody.
It's the all-time worst.
That you told him that she had struck out.
I had never watched that show before. It is the all-time worst. Maury Povich, it is so awkward, and he doesn't know what he's doing, but when he totally screwed up, and then it's like, well, C'est la vie. And you know the way contests run, even on the radio, that lady has a completely legitimate beat, because otherwise the guy might have said, I'll go for a, you know, a more difficult
question. A 10-point question, he would have gotten it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So if he would have gone for a 10-point question and gotten it wrong, being as she's already struck out, would she have won?
He would have, no, he would have actually, if he'd gone for any question and gotten it wrong, he would have been out. But he still is not supposed to tell. Because, you know, because he doesn't know. The thing is, if he gets a third strike, he's out of the game. So the degree of difficulty of the question is totally predicated upon whether this lady is out or not. And he knew she was out,
gotcha.
So he said, I'll take you 1-point question, Maury. And I didn't know because I had never watched the game before. And then when they came back from commercial, Maury says, well, say with me. And I'm sorry, lady. And this lady's got to be
really like, Connie.
Stab Maury Povich right in the chest. It's amazing.
You bastard! Stop it, you bastard!
In that box.
You dirty bastard. You couldn't get laid in a lumberjack camp.
No, I love you, I love you, I love you.
Please! Where to, mister?
Go. A scene from Play Misty for me.
You know, I logged a little time with another good Clint Eastwood movie over the weekend.
Which one?
Escape from Alcatraz.
Oh, very good movie.
I especially love the scene where he's in the shower. He's just gotten into Alcatraz and found out how totally empty he is. That, like, there's no chance of ever leaving.
Right.
He's in the shower, and this big guy, this big, gigantic, fat guy, he's soaping himself up.
Right.
And he's looking at him, and he's, like, blowing him kisses and stuff. And he comes over by Clint Eastwood, and he goes, you're going to be mine now. You're going to be mine. And Clint Eastwood looks right down at his crotch and looks him right back up in the eye, and he says, show me what you can do. And the guy comes over towards Clint Eastwood, and boom, 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 Clint Eastwood just beats the crap out of him and then sticks a bar of soap in his mouth. And this naked guy just laying on the floor with a bar of soap in his mouth. And he tries to kill Clint Eastwood out in the yard later, and they both get put in those cells that have no windows in them.
The box.
Yeah.
They had a Clint Eastwood question on the Maury show last night.
Oh, did they really?
That I remember because I got it wrong. And the question was, in what movie did he say, go ahead, make my day? Was it Dirty Harry?
Sudden Impact.
You had it right. I thought it was Magnum Force.
I know my Clint Eastwood.
You would have won the $50,000 and then been able to cheat in the next round.
Hello there, Don and Mike. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, this is Miss Me, Stan and Me, and I ain't the real thing, but I was cleaned by Dr. Evil, and I'm out here.
Jesus.
Hello, yeah. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Life is a steak buffet, my friend.
There's your guy, Mike.
Life is a steak buffet.
Don't put the show on tape delay.
Mike's guy, incidentally.
Yeah, because life is a steak buffet.
Not one of his better efforts. You know,
he
was commenting on our, our future plans, and I don't think that's appropriate what he's doing. His song.
And I know it's hard to come up with a word that rhymes with buffet.
That's right.
It's probably the way he went with tape delay.
Tape delay.
let me assuage anyone who's wondering about the delay. When we do go to New York in a couple of weeks, and we spend 2 or 3 days a week in New York, if we're going to be in New York doing a show live in New York, we will give everybody listening to the show, let's say, for instance, tomorrow, we were going to go tomorrow and do the show from New York, we would be peppering throughout today's show saying, tomorrow, if you want to be on the show, you have to call us between 7 and 11:30 p.m.
Absolutely.
I mean, it will require a little work for those of you who are regular callers to the show. And we know that the percentage of people that call a radio show, our show, any show, less than 1%.
But for those of you that get turgid at the thought of hearing your voice on the radio, a great opportunity for you to concentrate on your call and then listen to it on the tape delay.
Yes, we will work that out. But I guess the bottom line is that it'll still sound the same.
Right.
The show will be the same, regardless of if you're hearing it live or you're hearing it on a couple-hour tape delay.
Good.
As the people in New York will.
Bon appetit.
Be absolutely the same. Don't be afraid of tape delay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when the show finally goes to Los Angeles, as it will be in the coming weeks, there's not a chance we have any interaction with Los Angeles.
Of course.
Because of the huge time difference. So they're just going to be getting the entire show every day fed to them, and they're just going to be playing it back.
Right.
That's just the way it is.
It's the way life goes.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
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 Don and
and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Love your show.
Thank you.
On The Sopranos, who do you think is going to get whacked first? Christopher, Pussy, or the new guy from California that just got out of jail that's banging Tony's sister?
Richie. I think one of the two kids that are assisting Christopher will be the first ones to catch a bullet.
I do not think Christopher will get killed.
Nope.
I don't think Big Pussy will get killed because his role now, becoming the informant, is becoming too important to the script.
And he's also kind of backing off from it. That's one of the things you notice, that he's trying to pull away from that. So maybe there's some wiggle room for him.
And they're not going
to
get rid of Richie because they spent too much time making Richie a real player.
Right.
Yeah, but I can tell you, I'd love it if they'd kill Christopher. I have no time for Christopher and his ridiculous plot lines where he wants to be an actor. And he's the one guy in the Sopranos mob who looks to me like he couldn't beat up Rob Spiewak. I mean, you got to be tough to be in Tony's mob.
Absolutely.
And he's the one guy...
Like Paulie Walnuts.
Oh, yes. Now, he's tough.
He looks like the real deal.
Yeah. Christ, he's tough. And, you know, he's in every mob movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, they all are. I mean, you know, it's like the guy, Big Pussy and Paulie Walnuts are in so many mob movies, it's not funny.
You ever see Mickey Blue Eyes?
No, I haven't. That's one I haven't seen.
That awful movie with Hugh Grant and James Caan.
Forget about it.
It's an awful movie. Hugh Grant's kind of funny in it, but the movie's awful. But if you ever watch the movie, the guy who owns the restaurant on The Sopranos, he's got a giant role in Mickey Blue Eyes.
Oh, really?
Big Pussy has a big role in that movie. Mm-hmm. Paulie Walnuts is in that movie.
The guy that owns the restaurant could probably be a better gangster if he changed his character than Christopher.
And in this movie, Mickey Blue Eyes, he plays a tough guy.
Oh, really?
He plays the guy who ends up getting killed by Hugh Grant's girlfriend.
I think it's a small fraternity of guys that actually do this.
A lot of the actors in Mickey Blue Eyes really are or were members of the mob, and I believe Paulie Walnuts is a former member of the mob as well.
Yes, he is, Buzz.
There you go.
I already told the people at CBS, when we go to New York, that's the one guy, they said, give us a guest list. Like they want to have Carson Daly come on the show, and Bryant Gumbel, and all these people that we're supposed to be excited about. We said, no, you know, really, I swear to you guys.
Paulie Walnuts.
If we want to have one person come to the studio and give us the big New York welcome, you get us Paulie Walnuts from The Sopranos.
And aim high. You know, I know the big guy doesn't like to be exposed to the media.
Yes, Jimmy Gandolfini.
Yeah, that's who we want.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I wanted to tell Mike there is a wrestler who was a race car driver.
And I would have been his biggest fan. Is he dead?
No, he still wrestles. He just doesn't race anymore. He used to wrestle as Sparky Plug. His real name is Bob Holly. Well, he wrestles on WWF.
Sparky Plug with you.
That sounds like a disc jockey name.
Sparky Plug.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yo, this new time change, it's just scary. I'm frightened. I'm just scared.
All right, well, don't be afraid.
I'm scared for my life. I think I'm going to call the cops or something.
All right, that's a good idea.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
I saw something funny. I know we have to do a break, but when that guy said Sparky Plug, maybe they... I saw something today, the funniest thing I've ever seen. I've seen guys driving goofy-looking trucks before, guys, like work trucks, like exterminators that have a big rodent or something on the top of it. I saw a guy today driving a car, a Napa auto parts car.
Okay.
As it wasn't a car, it was a pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
And on the front of the pickup truck, like on the roof, right above where the guy's sitting, is a giant bulbous baseball hat.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. A big yellow baseball
the Napa hat.
That says Napa. I've never seen what's the most retarded looking truck I've ever seen in my life. It was one of those things, I'm on the beltway, and I'm looking in the rearview mirror, and right away I check, I got the cruise control, I'm going 60. I think, all right, I'm not speeding. And I see this thing behind me, and it's really making fast time on it. I think, God, what kind of a cop car is that?
What's the aerodynamics of the cap?
The guy pulled next to me. I almost laughed out loud.
Sure.
The guy driving a car with a goddamn big baseball cap on it.
And if you want that, you can get it on eBay.
I've never seen anything funny. Are you kidding me?
If you get anything on eBay, you know, if you want it badly enough. You know, they put a lot of miles on those, and they have to go somewhere after they're done using them.
That hat looked like it would fit Rob.
Yeah.
I'm serious. That Napa hat?
Maybe. It'd be a tight fit, but it might fit him.
Last call. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you doing?
Hey, Baldy.
I've got a little more information about that hockey incident you guys were talking about.
Okay.
The guy from Boston, Marty McSorley, he's probably in what's his last year of hockey. He's really old. He's one of the old tough guys that's been around for quite a while.
Yeah, he's been an enforcer for a long time. He was at the L.A. Kings for a while, too.
Yeah, yeah, among other teams. Mm-hmm. Well, the guy he ended up whacking, he's a guy who's basically one of the toughest guys in the league now that nobody wants to fight. He, you know, he's paid his dues, and now I think Marty's just a little tired of it and knew he was getting out and decided to get out a little early.
Well, isn't there a rule in hockey, though, if you want to fight some guy, that you just walk up to him and you just start fighting?
Yeah, I mean, you do. I mean, that's the way it's done. But they're cheap shots in any sport, and that's the way it happened. But I heard that, at least, I think I even heard tape of it, that Marty McSorley had already had a press conference about this, right?
He
came out and made a statement about
it.
Yeah, he
said he's
I'm really sorry I hit the guy in the head.
He said he's in shock and that he can't believe he did such a stupid thing. There'll be a hearing tomorrow. There may be criminal charges filed against him.
Hold on, here he is right now.
How's the guy he hit doing? Is he all right?
He's got a concussion, but he was released this afternoon.
Here's that guy. What's his name, the guy?
Marty McSorley there.
Here he is now.
This is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio. The next time you need light bulbs, look to Sylvania for all your home lighting needs. I do.
Get him right in the light bulb.
I do. Thank you, Josh.
Thanks, bye.
Thank you, my friend. We're up on a break. And a chance for somebody to win up to $10,000.
Wow.
With a secret celebrity laugh number 4. It lies straight ahead. Be the 100th person to call Toya.
Ooh.
Ah, the lovely Toya standing by.
Ah, Toya.
And as she's told me like 1,000 times the last week, her name is not LaToya.
It's Toya.
Toya. Toya.
Right.
Call Toya right now on the toll free at 1-877-365-3636. Caller 100.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.